Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you so much for joining us on this July 30th, 2008 edition, Wednesday, July 30th, 2008. We're going to be live for the next 4 hours. And guess who we have lined up for you on the radio today? We have Ted Nugent. This will be, I guess, his third visit with us over the years, coming up in 1 hour from now. We then have St. John Hunt and Dan Hamburg coming on later for a part two discussion of the assassination of JFK. So that is coming up later in the broadcast. In fact, St. John Hunt is coming on to talk about the JFK assassination in the fourth hour. I'm still not used to saying that, a fourth hour of the radio show, turning up the heat here. Dan Hamburg is the former congressman who wrote the big story in the San Francisco Chronicle detailing the martial law concentration camp plan for the American people, which he admits is bipartisan. This will continue on to the next administration, regardless of if it's John McCain or Barack Obama. And yes, this is really happening. We're really in this dire of straits. We're facing a very serious situation on every front, economically, militarily, culturally. The family's falling apart. And only by admitting that we're in crisis can we turn it around. It is not defeatism. It is not fear-mongering. It is not negativity. If, let's say, the bus driver, as you're driving through the Rocky Mountains, has had a heart attack, and you're hurtling down the highway at 65 miles an hour, and 500 yards away there is a turn on the road around the side of a mountain, and if you don't push the bus driver who's had the heart attack out of the seat and get control and get a hold of the wheel, and you better do it deftly as well, because you could jump in there and actually swerve it and go off the cliff. If you don't do that, you're going off the end of the cliff. Now, I can't turn the wheel by myself. Collectively, we have to turn the wheel to go around this curve. And the solution is educating the public that we are a bus going down a mountain road about to drive off a cliff. That is the main solution. That we have hundreds of, well, over the years, thousands of guest experts, eyewitnesses on to cover different facets of what's happening in society. The biggest solution I can try to offer is wide-spectrum awareness, covering lots of different areas, lots of general knowledge and information, so that people are aware of the wider picture, not just myopically staring in on one little piece of it. And then also looking at the New World Order's larger goals and what their end game is. We also, you give other solutions, educate people about the Second Amendment being key and how it's being eroded piece by piece by stealth. Educate folks about how opening the borders is a globalist plan to mutualize and break down the sovereignty of the United States and drive down wages to about $3 an hour and destroy the middle class. Or an anti-war peace revolution message of, these wars are for big corporate interest, meant to debase our currency, destroy our name, and take over foreign lands that are handed over to private bankers while the U.S. takes the blame for the imperial actions. Or other solutions where homeschool your children, get them out of public schools, or don't drink fluoride water, or don't take vaccines. I mean, it's nothing but solutions here. But I'm going to come back, cover news, and go through a bunch of other solutions. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We've had Ted Nugent on twice in the past. He's always shown up when he says he will. But we will see if he shows up next hour with us. Always with these big guests who are on the road a lot, I get a little butterfly in the stomach. But I do have Ted Nugent scheduled for all of you coming up in the second hour. Should be an interesting interview, to say the least. And then former congressman covering the concentration camp, martial law, 9/11 inside job operation, Congressman Dan Hamburg, and then St. John Hunt. It is Wednesday, the 30th of July, 2008, and we will take some of your phone calls in this hour at 1-800-259-9231. I have quite a stack of news here in front of me as well today on the financial front. More and more of the several states are on the edge of bankruptcy, predominantly because of federal unfunded mandates, where the feds basically come in with federal laws and federal regulations forcing the states, in violation of the 10th Amendment, to adopt them. And then the states levy more and more taxes on their population, which then further debases the stagnant economic growth curve that is now going straight down. And as if that isn't enough, all over the country, not just in Texas and Louisiana and Florida and Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Oklahoma, Indiana, those are some of the predominant states that are having the worst repercussions by the illegal aliens, who I will state again, I don't blame for wanting a better life and wanting to flee Mexico, but this country is like a lifeboat. There are 6.5 billion people on the earth. There are 300 plus million here now, and 30 million illegals have already basically gotten the water line right up to about 2 centimeters from the edge of the boat, and we are about to be swamped. We are about to sink. The waves are about to come over the edge of the boat. In fact, it is a foregone conclusion that we are going to have what you can only call a depression within the next 3 years, with all the economic data and the scores of economists, top economists, Nobel Prize winners, Wall Street Journal editors. We have them all on, and they say the exact same thing. We're already going under, but there's some type of land a few miles away. The question is, can we make it there and have some type of crash landing where some semblance of the nation survives economically? And while we're being bum-rushed by another 3 million illegals a year, conservatively, million-plus legals, the answer is we're probably not going to make it. And the illegal aliens have been living in, most of them, in cardboard boxes in and around Mexico City, over 30 million people there. And so for them, a depression in the United States will be better than the abject slavery they live under in Mexico. And so it's not going to make them go home. In fact, it's going to cause more of them to come in. And so you're going to see a complete race to the bottom. When you can't buy enough food for your family, and when you can't buy fuel, and when you have to sell your car, and when you've got to move in with your parents, and when things get worse and worse for you, and when you get laid off from the factories, the last few that are closing, just remember it was the globalists that did it to you. I don't even personally blame the illegal aliens for it. They are only being used as a tool. If 30 million illegals had been forced to stay in Mexico, there is no doubt that the last two attempts at revolution they had in the last 20 years would have succeeded, and we would have something different down there. The Mexicans valiantly tried about 100 years ago to overthrow their government, and that did not succeed. And so they have more billionaires per capita than any country in the world and the third poorest population on the planet. And so the corrupt oligarchy that rules Mexico will stay in power, and the corrupt oligarchy based in Europe that is bringing down the U.S., it will help them bring down the U.S. as well. And the colleges and the media and the Spanish-speaking media here is drumming the Mexican illegals full of nationalistic fervor against the U.S., while the U.S. is taught not to have any true nationalism for itself unless it is some disgusting mutation of nationalism, which is hyper-fascistic wars of aggression against innocent third world countries, which then bankrupt our treasury and destroy our name worldwide, which is exactly what the New World Order wants and has stated they planned all along. When I first woke up to the New World Order 15 years ago, I remember reading the different publications put out about what the trilateralists in the New World Order were going to do, and they said they plan to bring in a North American Union. They plan to debase the dollar right at the same time that they're doing that, to bring in a North American Union and then Pan-American Union currency. They will then sign simultaneous deals with the European Union, merging that, and now we are seeing exactly that take place. I mean, the president has White House press conferences with German Chancellor Merkel and EU head Barroso, and I can put the president saying they're merging the EU with the North American community in a film, and people are in denial. I mean, I can have their mouths opening, video of them saying it, and the public is still in catatonic shock, in a catatonic state of drooling, and is just unable to even grasp the geopolitical jockeying that is going on. It freaks me out. I mean, I'm freaked out. I'm freaked out every day. I am, I don't want to say shell-shocked because I'm focused, but at a certain level of my psyche, I am shell-shocked. I can't believe that I'm a radical, that I'm seen by people as a radical. I can't believe that so many people, even our own movement, are in denial about just how serious it is and just how far along down this path we are. Right now it's hitting me like a ton of bricks. It hits me every day at some time during the day like a ton of bricks, sometimes multiple times a day. But every day I am hit by the realization, because I am a realist, and I hope for the best, but I plan for the worst, and I am forced to face the whole of the truth and try to make preparations for it. I mean, we're going to have a depression in this country, a really bad one. And they are gearing up a police state. I mean, we have the states going bankrupt all around us. And how do the states respond? By levying scores of new taxes. I haven't counted them up, but it's got to be more than 10 new taxes, fines, fees, regulatory fees, new business taxes, new environmental taxes in a supposedly conservative, low-tax state like Texas. And I see it all over the country, the same thing happening. And I see more and more police everywhere, revenuing, raising more revenue, squeezing populations that are already on the edge of going bankrupt everywhere. And what are they going to do as people are bankrupt and just can't pay the fines and fees anymore? Well, you'll just go to jail. And then there won't be money for you to pay the fines and fees, so you'll just go into the system for the rest of your life, and then they'll just raise more taxes on people that can pay to incarcerate you, and it's going to continually devolve. And then meanwhile, I've had Austin cops to my face while they're arresting somebody I know right in front of me for an expired driver's license. Say, yeah, we're told not to arrest illegals for this. It's incredible. It makes us mad, but we are told to arrest citizens. And then I have all the news articles. I've probably seen 15, 20 of them the last couple of days. I got some in the stack today about drunk driving, no insurance, speeding, cop killing. They don't even know who the people are. They don't know who their names are. They don't know where they come from. And the cops are told just that's the way it is. And I'm not even bashing the illegal aliens here. I'm saying it's a completely lawless government. If you're a citizen, you're seen as a chump to be bled. Like they bleed cows in Kenya. They come over, they knock a hole in one of their arteries, they then plug it back up with mud, and they fill a big goblet up, and they cook it into a soup. They add dung to it and urine. And I don't know why I'm digressing. The point is, I start talking about Africans drinking blood out of the side of a cow, and it sounds crazy. I'm not kidding. It really happens in Kenya with the Bushmen. The point is, that's kind of like what we are, is where these cows, and the cops just pull up, knock a hole in your throat, suck some blood out like a vampire bat, and flap off. A lot of us are getting down to flesh and bones. We're getting dizzy standing here. I had so much blood sucked out of us. Hordes of new bureaucracy sent forth to eat out our substance. And then I see more and more videos every day of cops just beating the daylights out of innocent people for no reason and then charging them with attacking the cop when they don't touch them on the video. It just freaks me out. Because that's tyranny, folks, and that should concern every single one of you. We got a major problem. We got big problems. And all I want is for everybody to get out of this and us have a good life. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to read you the headlines here. I could spend an hour on each one of these. New immunization rules for students. It says in this particular state, they are going to claim that you, even if you're homeschooled, you have to take vaccines. If you go read the law, it doesn't even say that, but it's all part of a mass hoax, all part of the deception. I have a bunch of other articles across the country where Army recruiters are promoted. This is 3 years later from Denver to Houston, where they just tell high school students, you must enlist or you'll be arrested. It's all lies. And they freak out and get scared. And it's recordings of them saying, I'm going to have you arrested. You're going to be arrested right now unless you join the military. I'm ordering you. It's the law. You've got to join. And then they got caught 3 years ago. They've all been promoted and are still doing it. A criminal rogue government. A government that isn't government. It is just a criminal enterprise. Lying, saying you got to take shots. Taking your DNA at birth, putting it in a federal database for 35 years. That's now gone public. Told you about it years ago, now completely in the news. Just total lawlessness. Look at this. Schools are replacing Social Security numbers with IDs, with hand scans. And it just says all over the country here, they're putting hand scanners in, as I told you in my first film in 97, they would do. I had the executive orders. This is the grid. Crackdown on Neste bottling plant. AP, California is going to ban watered bottle plants just by fiat. They say it's bad for the earth. Banned. Setting the precedent. See, it doesn't matter even if it sounds reasonable. Setting the precedent. UN thermostat to be set higher. The United Nations, at all of its major offices, is saying no more suits. Now, dress codes, you see, and that you're not allowed to have as much air conditioning. See, it's about training you to make sacrifices and follow orders that are non-crime related. Total fraud. Total. We're now going into absolute bondage. There'll be citizen corps to tattle and spy on you, kid cops. It's all happening, ladies and gentlemen. I understand why you didn't believe me years ago when I'd read you secret UN documents we'd gotten leaked. But, you know, now it's out in the open. There's no excuse to deny now. L.A. wants year-long fast food ban, banning new fast food restaurants in the city. See? Total control. Oh, we're going to decide it's bad for you. But see, the precedent's set for them to rule and do whatever they want. Trader is fined £300 or $600 by council for using black bin bags instead of gray. Inspectors come into all the major businesses in England and in Europe. Everyone is fined and feed your watch. You get weekly. There's multiple layers of bureaucracy. Just everyone in your business, not even the secret police. They're just everywhere. Coming up, asking you on the street while you're walking your dog, if you're a terrorist, putting you in a terror database for life. It's just everywhere. Unspeakable. East Germany was not this bad, ladies and gentlemen. East Germany was not this serious. MEP calls for EU ban on cigarettes, member of European Parliament. Again, sounds reasonable. Cigarettes are bad, but the precedent set. Now there'll be a black market. They'll ship the cigarettes in. The government will, for their private interest, to make profits. Unbelievable. They'll be SWAT teaming you soon. They're SWAT teaming people for aloe vera. Plants now in the U.S. because the police have decided it can get you high. It's not even illegal, but you can Google it, they are raiding citizens. You see, just like asset forfeiture seizure, no drugs and nothing illegal found, they just take it. No judge, no jury. Got a major news report admitting they're spraying the skies nationwide with sodium iodine, silver iodine. Chemical compound used in photography and antiseptic and medicine, silver and iodine, that's poison, is highly insoluble in water and has a crystalline structure similar to that of ice, allowing it to induce freezing in cloud seeding for the purpose of rainmaking. Gloom and doom, states face looming budget deficits, ABC. Oh, man. Utah congressman gets mail on range of topics, Salt Lake City Tribune. And it says here that when he gets letters about 9/11 being an inside job, he hands it over to police. That's right, it's illegal to say, hey, check in an inside job. Doesn't matter if the mayor in Salt Lake's come out, other people talking about New World Order. Doesn't matter. You don't talk like that. You understand? This isn't freedom. This is evil. Oh, we'll be right back.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Back into your dream. Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Well, Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying words.
Oh, but that's the way it goes.
Oh, but that's the way it goes. All the Federalists say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose.
We're back live.
Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dusty poncho a bit down south. Ended up and left his mouth. The day they laid poor poncho low, the lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go.
Big new developments. House panel votes to hold Karl Rove in contempt for defying subpoena. Another one here. North American Union. The dream is dead. Father of alignment of U.S., Mexico, and Canada says secret plan has been killed by the left and right. We'll cover that, but let's finish up this song first.
Out of kindness, I suppose.
Getting ready to play possum on us. One of their favorite tricks. We had a possum on the back porch two nights ago. I wasn't home. My wife took pictures of it, a little adolescent possum. She walked outside and he played dead. That's what they're doing. The Poet's Tale.
The Poet's Tale how Poncho fell and left his living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet. Cleveland's cold, so the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true, to save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do. And now he's growing old.
House panel votes to hold Rove in contempt for defying subpoena. Bloomberg. We'll get this linked up on Infowars.com right now for you. A House panel voted to hold former White House political director Karl Rove in contempt for defying a subpoena to testify about whether politics motivated the prosecution of the former governor of Alabama. Karl Rove fled the country to dodge that subpoena. The House Judiciary Committee, 20-14, voted along party lines, escalating the dispute between Bush administration and the Democratic-controlled Congress over lawmakers' demand for testimony by presidential aides, something that in all of our jurisprudence and precedent, they cannot avoid. The president has claimed the Fuhrer precept of unlimited executive power and privilege and has said that Rove doesn't have to testify. President George Bush has invoked executive privilege to bar his aides from testifying under oath in Congress about the firing of 9 U.S. attorneys. The president also barred Rove's testimony on the prosecution of former Alabama governor. And it goes on. A contempt citation against Rove would require approval by the full House. Rove failed to appear in a July 10th hearing. Now, 20 days ago, Rove has denied influencing the decision to prosecute Singelmann, despite the fact that we have the memos. He offered to answer the committee's questions in writing or to testify in private without a transcript. Rove's lawyer, Robert Luskin, told the committee in a July 9th letter that Bush had directed his client not to testify. The Justice Department's Internal Ethics Watchdog Unit is investigating whether Singelmann was a victim of selective prosecution. Okay, that's some of the important news in front of us. Then I have this report. North American Union, the dream is dead. Father of alignment of U.S., Mexico, Canada says secret plan has been killed by left and the right. Dr. Jerome Corsi, who we've got on, by the way, next week. The Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America is dead, says Robert A. Pastor, the American University professor who for more than a decade has been a major proponent of building a North American community. Yeah, he's the father of nothing. David Rockefeller called for it in the 50s. The new president will probably discard the SPP, Pastor wrote in an article titled The Future of North America, published in a current July-August issue of the Council on Foreign Relations magazine, Foreign Affairs. The SPP, which critics contend is a step towards North American Union, well, we have their own documents, is an agreement to increase cooperation on security and economic issues signed by leaders of U.S., Mexico, Canada in 2005. Despite having no authorization from Congress, the Bush administration launched an extensive working group activity to implement the agreement. The working groups, ranging from e-commerce to aviation policy to borders and immigration to the military, have counterparts in U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Okay. That is complete possum behavior. Let me tell you what's happened here in Texas. They have been putting toll roads on existing roads for about 6 years. They have been handing over water supplies, government-owned utilities that taxpayers paid for and built, refineries, power plants, on and on and on, out of foreign interest. They literally come in and give a few million in campaign contributions, and the legislature just hands over huge swaths. It's happening all over the country, but nowhere like Texas, even more than California. I've seen the numbers. California, of course. Enron just set up fake energy trading and would steal billions a day in some cases. And that all came out later. Just fake energy trading computer systems, fake energy markets with huge fake computer screens. I mean, real computer screens, but fake data on them. It's just total fraud. The government's just completely lawless, completely overtaken by private interests that use it as giant cash machines. It's so lawless when you really look at it. And what have they done in Texas? They said 3 years ago, okay, we're not going to put toll roads on all these existing roads. The Trans-Texas Corridor is dead. The legislature said, we don't believe you, and passed a law saying they couldn't do it. The governor vetoed it but said, don't worry, it's dead. And then they kept putting in the roads and building the new ones and placing toll roads on them. And then he announced again, 3 months ago, that the SPP was dead in Texas, the Trans-Texas Corridor. But more billboards are going up. More toll roads are going in. They're building barriers on all the major highways so you can't cut across and go around the toll roads. On roads they admit they're getting ready to put them in on. And it's just like at Waco, when they're driving the Bradley fighting vehicles in and shooting people and running over them, they were blaring on loudspeakers, this is not an attack, this is not an assault. Come out with your hands up. When they come out with their hands up, they shoot them. So it's the same thing. I mean, it's like if I walk up to you and punch you right in the nose and say, this is not an assault, wham! And then you get up to fight me and I say, hey, let's be friends. Hey, let's hug and make up. And you go, okay, and I break your jaw. Then I'm stomping on you on the ground, saying, this is not an assault. This is not an assault. Stand down. In World War I, the Allied forces and the German forces would try this on each other, and after a few months it didn't work anymore, but they would broadcast in French, in English, in Russian, and vice versa, back in German. Okay, we're not assaulting. Stand down. You know, we're coming across with a flag of truce, and then they would open fire on them and launch a huge attack. Or the North Vietnamese would say, oh, it's a holiday. The Tet holiday is coming up. The big, you know, biggest holiday in Vietnam. Everything's wonderful. Let's just have a two-day stand down, two-day holiday, and okay, we'll stand down. Massive attack. Just absolutely hitting every major base, overrunning scores of cities and towns. Same deal. I mean, I've been in debates with these people. When we first learned of this 6 years ago, they were going to put toll roads on MOPAC. That they were going to shut down, I mean, the major highway in Austin when we don't have enough roads to begin with. I mean, we've got enough roads for a town of 400,000 people, and it's now over 1 million metro. And we had all the official TxDOT maps and the federal maps and the city agreements, and we would go before the council and the commissioners and say, but you say right here you're going to put toll roads in. They'd say, we never said that. That's a, and laugh at us, knowing the public doesn't know how to go look up maps. We'd hold maps up, their maps. Then they announced last year, yeah, we're going to do that in 2009. But they said it's not a toll road. It's a fee road, and they use some other little terms. And well, it's not a toll road because we're only going to shut down two of the three lanes. You'll still have one lane that's free, but the others will be toll lanes. So they play all these little games, semantical games, treating us like children. And it's the same thing in New Jersey and Indiana and Illinois and California. They just grab existing roads and slap toll roads on them. Folks, I mean, I call myself middle class. I drive an okay car, live in a decent house. The gas prices are hurting me. I got a six-cylinder SUV. It's not even a gas guzzler. I spent $85 the other day putting 21 gallons is what my gas tank takes. I know it was $80 plus. That's hurting me. Can you imagine a blue-collar working family where mom and dad both work for $10 an hour? If they're lucky? How on earth with this devalued dollar are they living on that with children? And these toll roads, when I've been in New York and they're $8.50, $10.50 for some of the bridge tolls. You know, we drive over to New Jersey to do a story and drive back into New York. Oh, we want to drive across to get a shot of New York from across the water over into Brooklyn, and it's $8.50 over and $8.50 back. That is $17. You take the train. You know how much it is to take the train out of Newark into just one leg into a base hub in New York? $11.50 last time I was there. You know how much it is to take the subway down half of Manhattan Island? $4. That means somebody getting paid $8-$9 an hour on average is spending about 1 hour a day just working or more just to pay for transportation if they can live in the city. Take Chicago, put in all these toll roads and said, if you pay cash, it's double. It's $7.50. But it's only $4 if you put in a smart tag. And everybody put the smart tags in, and then it turned out with the feds and a grant, just like San Francisco, they'd put readers up all over the city to track everywhere you go by vehicle registration and name, tracking you with a radio locator device. Let me ask you, would you get mad if the cops came to your house without a warrant and slapped a tracker chip on your car and followed everywhere you went? Well, that's what they're doing. I've had enough of it, ladies and gentlemen. And there's thousands. I mean, literally, I've got thousands of issues to cover here. The news I covered earlier was only the tip of the iceberg. It gets more and more crazy. Texas schools to make their students wear prisoner jumpsuits. WOAI Television, San Antonio. This is the type of news I have in front of me, story after story of just unbelievable magnitude. I mean, I've got a story about them admitting now they're spraying the entire atmosphere of the country with poisonous chemicals. I'm going to play that later after Nugent's on with us. I'm at a loss for words at this point. We're living in absolute maniac world. We are living in crazy land. And I haven't even scratched the surface yet. I mean, I just can't believe. I've got a stack of the police tasering people to death over and over again when they're injured because they can't get up. Tasering people to death who are restrained in jails because they won't answer questions. I've got stacks of news here with, well, here's one like I mentioned, Salt Lake City Tribune. Utah congressman gets mail on a range of topics. Steve Watts is doing a story on this. And he says in here, let me find the actual quote. Others have written in about 9/11 conspiracies, global takeovers, or secret CIA mind control techniques that got so crazy we actually had to hand them over to Capitol Police, he said. See? They just slipped that in there. Oh, we handed it over to the police. And I want to ask all the government bureaucrats and the police and the enforcers of this, are you still in denial about what's happening? Are you still rationalizing all of this? Are you still playing games with all this information? Because this affects you too. You know that in your gut right now. That's why the hair is standing up on the back of your neck when you listen to this show, especially people in the system who know how true what I'm saying is, who know that the local police departments are marched into little classified briefings with the feds where you're being co-opted and federalized. For intelligence units and major police departments that know that the CIA and regular Army is working with you to, quote, surveil the citizens. Oh, I'm not supposed to know that? I told you about that 12 years ago when you were laughing at me. And I told you terrorism would be the catalyst to carry it out. Why? Because I could read government documents. Because I saw what they said they were going to do. And now I read government documents, Ministry of Defense, British 10-year plans, where they talk about mass exterminations of the population. If the government revolts, they're going to use neutron bombs on us. And Dick Cheney in the September 2000 PNAC document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, says they'll use bioweapons on the populations to control us. I mean, what? And we know they're already poisoning our water. Hey, police, you're drinking that water. Firemen, you're drinking that water. AIDS is engineered. We have their own government funding documents for it. I mean, things are run by a group of ruthless psychos. We have to wake up to it. The system is bankrupt. Paul is confirmed tomorrow for a full 30 minutes. We're lining Kucinich back up to give us all the developments. Let's go ahead and talk to Steve in Louisiana. Steve, welcome to the airwaves.
Hello.
Hello.
Alex, it's very nice to meet and hear from a great American in this country.
It's good to talk to you.
You keep fighting the good fight. Hey, the other day you were talking about subliminal messages. There's actually a cartoon that comes on Saturday called VeggieTales. And I'm an audio engineer, sound designer for a video gaming company. And one of the things that popped out that they try to highlight, I guess, was two words of oil control. There was a slight pause before, a slight pause after. And the two words oil control were just a bit louder than anything else.
Oil patrol or oil control?
Control.
Well, let me say this. There are subliminals in a lot of major, you know, produced TV shows and movies, and a lot of product placement, and what I call propaganda placement, when government admittedly spends billions a year paying for that to be put in. I mean, there's no debating this is going on. There's also, as you know, people on our side, and I still don't think it's moral, they shouldn't do it, slipping things in. In fact, I've talked to some people in Hollywood that say that goes on. Now, here's an example of something I announced before the movie came out, and then people still didn't understand it. When I was involved consulting on and appearing in the movie A Scanner Darkly with Keanu Reeves and Ona Ryder, Woody Harrelson, and others, they were all anti-New World Order, and they said, we're going to try to show people that it's the government shipping in the drugs, and that it's a New World Order system doing it. So blatantly on their shirts are all seeing eye pyramids. Blatantly, it's all over the movie. And I was a consultant on some of that. And I said, this is to show people it's the New World Order. And then people make videos saying, oh, look, subliminals. It's not subliminal when there is a giant all-seeing eye on the guy's shirt or a poster on the wall, you know, that says this. So there's also people trying to warn you. It isn't, the New World Order is not all powerful. It's not monolithic. And I will tell you that Warner Independent did a lot of things behind the scenes to really block that film from getting big. I'm barred by confidentiality into getting into more of that. But believe me, they were not pleased and tried to have the part where the cop blows the guy's head off cut out. Linklater had to go to the mat with him to make sure that stayed in. And there's a whole behind-the-scenes thing that I've probably said too much already. I mean, these are good people fighting the New World Order, and then our own movement twists that around and says, no, it's a New World Order film. No, it's a movie about how the government puts out a drug that turns you into a zombie slave. How's that for inside scoop? Anything else?
Not going to happen. Another thing, the band that you were trying to figure out the other day was Ozo Motley.
Ozo Motley.
Ozo Motley. They're the ones that got in trouble. They said that the cops, they accidentally hit them with a mic or a drumstick, and then all hell broke loose. I met the cast right
after. But that was Ozo Motley being nice, saying maybe we bumped into them. We have the video. They didn't do anything.
Didn't do shit. I'm sorry. No one's supposed to say that on your air.
Whatever, man. Have a good one. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this quick break. Ted Nugent scheduled to be calling into the show. He's been on before. And more of your calls and a ton of news straight ahead. We also have a congressman on in the next hour. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now already into hour number two, waiting for Ted Nugent to call in the next 10 minutes. Let's continue with your phone calls. Lindsay in Idaho, you're on the air worldwide. Yeah, Lindsay wants to listen to their radio there. And so we'll put them on hold and come back to them later. Rourke in Texas, you're on the air. Rourke, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
At what point do we have nothing to lose and then we can organize?
Nothing to lose. We have nothing to lose in waking people up to the fact that both parties are bought and paid for by the New World Order. We have nothing to lose in defending our republic and trying to stop our country from being seized fully by the globalists to be used as a mechanism, an engine of tyranny worldwide. So we have nothing to lose now. People better start speaking up, saying no, getting involved in local government now.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of that. I'm probably your biggest proponent online that doesn't have a website. And I don't see it yet. I really don't. And I think, you know, I'm not telling you to stop the radio show, but I think to a certain extent that analysis is paralysis. And that.
But you're calling in, you're calling into a show. I mean, I get all these callers and people calling and say, let's start a shooting war with the government. But then they're standing right there. They're not going out and doing it. So it's kind of a thumping the chest, but not actually getting in the arena. I'm here. My name's out there. I've been physically attacked. I've had all sorts of things done to me, and I'm here taking it to be a lighthouse and a beacon, trying to warn people of the rocks. And then, things are bad. Things are getting worse. But, I mean, just to say analysis is paralysis, no, it's not. It may be for you because you've been awake so long, and I understand your frustration, but a lot of the public finally knows they're being lied to. Now they're ready to hear the story. Now they're ready to find the rest of the story. And so it's our job to carry the ball. Whether that means, you know, putting out a local newspaper or a local website or calling into talk shows or going before the city council and speaking up on a host of issues or defending our borders, defending our sovereignty, defending the Second Amendment, speaking out about how they're destroying the dollar, putting political pressure on the government to stop devaluing the dollar so that oil prices go down. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do, sir. I mean, here's a solution. Explain to parents there's no law their children have to take vaccinations and educate them on it. That saves people. Explain to people that their sodium fluoride does attack your brain and give them the documents. That's where you can individually warn a person in your community. And if you warn 100 people, Rourke, I guarantee you that 10 or 15 of them are going to listen to what you had to say, check it out. You're going to save them a lot of misery just on those issues. Or I've been telling people for 8 years all the scientific studies that cell phones are causing cancer to explode. Now it's all over the news, thousands of government studies. It is a fact. So you personally can maybe only use a cell phone in emergencies or only use it to get messages when you're on the road, but don't use it hours a day. You know, there's a solution. Putting in solar power, saving money that way, moving closer to where you work. I mean, we give nothing but solutions. How to protect yourself financially. We make films and then put them out for free for people to get out, doing everything we can. And so this show is the opposite of paralysis. It is total action.
Yeah, I got that from Krishnamurti, and I think he found it out, or the system, by a purely psychological means. You should check into him. And, yeah, it wouldn't have to be military, at least not at first, but I think it's going to go that way, no matter what happens.
So. Well, what are some of your other ideas that are non-military to turn things around?
Well, I just think we should get everyone, you know, organized, and a lot of people have these different ideas, and I think if we got together...
I hear you. Look, that's the instinctive thing to do, but then you can be infiltrated, then you can be brought down, then you can be set up, then you can be demonized. We need thousands of heads, not one head. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ron Paul has been with us in the last week. Jesse Ventura, Willie Nelson, a lot of the other big guests coming up throughout this week and next. But we got a huge guest for you right now. We really appreciate him joining us in between all the TV shows and movies he's making and has coming out, and of course touring the country, touring the world perpetually. And we're just proud that Ted Nugent also calls Texas home at least part of the year right here in Central Texas. He doesn't really need any introduction here. He is the pro-Second Amendment, one of the truly conservative rock stars out there, and we're just honored to have Ted Nugent with us. So, Mr. Nugent, good to have you here again.
Alex, happy Independence Day every day, my friend.
Wow, there is a lot going on. Out of the gates, you've got some concerts. You know, we're on here and there from Illinois to New York to Florida to California, but we're strong here in Texas, and you've got some big shows coming up in Texas, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a lucky guitar player. This Rolling Thunder Tour 2008 is the greatest musical outrage of my life. I'm surrounded by the world's greatest musicians, Greg Smith on bass guitar and Mick Brown on the drums, and we've been playing every night since the first part of June. We just got back from Europe, Alex, so my abject confidence in an experiment self-government has never been more vital, and I'm bringing that to Waco, Texas, coming up this Sunday. And on Saturday, we're at Billy Bob's, the ultimate rock and roll venue, Billy Bob's in Fort Worth. So I'm looking forward to some real firestorm rhythm and blues rock and roll, man.
Absolutely. Again, for those that just joined us, you are listening to the voice of Ted Nugent.
What's left of my voice, Alex?
Well, you sound good. Believe me, you sound really loud and clear over that phone.
Well, thanks.
Ted, so much is happening. We just saw the Supreme Court ruling, but I had Gun Owners of America and Jews of Preservation of Firearms Ownership on the show a few weeks ago when the ruling came down, and they said, well, it looks good on the surface, but it's saying the government can still regulate and make laws, and now the gun grabbers, as you know, the mayor of Chicago and others are saying, oh, we're going to use this to now say that we do have a right to restrict the Second Amendment. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct about that. I'm very proud to get the self-evident truths of the Nugent family and that you celebrate every day of our lives on humanevents.com. I have a weekly article on humanevents.com that I write about these self-evident truths and how I apply them to my life. And also on wacotrib.com, I write a Sunday feature every week in the Waco Tribune. God knows they need me up there. And I articulated clearly that the Supreme Court's finding that the Second Amendment is indeed an individual right was not cause for celebration, because what really going on there is that four Americans, Alex, actually believe that our individual rights don't exist, that we don't have four Supreme Court justices, Alex, don't believe in individual rights. That terrorizes my heart. Now more than that's the real alert that the Supreme Court's finding on Heller represented, is that we, the people who know the truth and that God gave us these individual rights, need to speak up more and more all the time.
Folks, we're talking to Ted Nugent, who's touring the country right now. Ted, you look, I mean, I've had you on a couple times over the years. I think the first time I interviewed you was, I think, 8 years ago, and then about 5 years ago. So it's been about 5 years since you've joined us. And I totally agree with you. We don't need open borders. We don't need gun control. We need more liberty, not less liberty. We need to legalize freedom. like Ron Paul has said. But, I mean, we have the Republican Party that's tripled the size of government the last 8 years.
It's horrible.
George Bush said that he would sign the assault weapons ban if it got to his desk. Thank God it didn't. So my whole point is, how do we awaken the people that both parties are sold out to interests that don't want us to have freedom?
Well, and Alex, God bless you for using your megaphone, which we all have, by the way. Yours just happens to be on radio. I get to go in the media literally every day, multiple times. I do over 1,500 interviews every year because as a participating We the People experimenter in self-government, I believe it is our moral and spiritual obligation to be involved, to be outspoken, to blow those whistles. And here's the answer. The simple answer is outlined lick for lick in a brand new book I'm just wrapping up right now for Regnery Publishing called Ted White and Blue, The Nugent Manifesto. And we need to end not the scourge of liberalism in this country, but the scourge of apathy. And yes, I have many blood brothers that are hardcore, rugged individuals in the great Republic of Texas. But if you look around you in our home state of Texas, Alex, or Illinois, or Mass, literally every state, the enemy isn't the liberals. The enemy is those of us who know and live logic every day, but don't do a damn thing about it. The curse in America is apathy, and we need to communicate with our friends at work, at school, at church, at the barbecue pit, at the bowling alley, at the shooting range. We need to communicate and prod specific issues, and I think it should start with gun control. It should go to taxes and education upgrade and reform, welfare reform, but we need to get these logical lifestyles by the most productive American families, those that have an alarm clock and bust their ass to be the best that they can be. We need to find that extra time like the Nugent family does and let our senator, our congressman, our state rep, our governor, our mayor, and the White House know exactly what we expect. For example, those two heroic border agents who are in jail right now, Compion and Ramos, they should be exonerated and they should be pardoned tonight. And every American should be pounding our own bully pulpit and demand that these heroes of law enforcement and border security are exonerated and let out of prison immediately. That's just one example.
Yes, it is. Ted, we're talking to Ted Nugent right now, author, best-selling author, TV host, filmmaker, and, of course, rock star. Ted, do me a favor. You say your voice isn't strong. It's super strong. Can you back off your cell phone there a little bit?
I can try a little bit, yes, sir. I get a little passionate. And what I was articulating, if I may, just for a moment here, Alex, I'm just a guitar player. I lead a simple life. I'm intense, and I have a lot of energy because I've taken good care of myself, and I have many, many dreams, even at the tender age of 60. But what I have discovered and what I've outlined in Ted White and Blue, this new book I've written, is that the Nugent family does not experience any of the problems that are plaguing America today. If I may specify, we don't have welfare in the Nugent house. We wouldn't allow it. We wouldn't allow a handout into the Nugent house because we bust our ass to be the best that we can be, and we are driven to be productive. We don't need border security on our property. No one invades our property because we've sent out a message. If you look like you're going to invade our property, we will shoot you. I could go on and on, but we don't need education money thrown at us because when we see a misspelling or the misspoken word or bad hygiene, our loving family intervenes and we educate ourselves and our loved ones and our friends. This is the gist of the problem in America today, that it's all self-inflicted. Every problem from the deficit to the welfare horror to the border horror, it is all based on insane, irresponsible choices.
And Ted Nugent
has got to get tough.
Ted, I agree with you, but the biggest problem we've seen the last 8 years is that conservatives did go to sleep, did have apathy, thinking George Bush has saved us from the monster Bill Clinton. Everything is okay now. We can just go quietly into the night. Meanwhile, our currency's been devalued. The government, as I said earlier, has tripled in size. And so what I see is real conservatives and libertarians being co-opted by the Republican Party. And, of course, if we had real leadership, that wouldn't have happened. And I know you're friends with a lot of these big-wig Republicans, and you know, loyalty is something. But if people like Ted Nugent, I know you have spoken out some, really started going after the wolves in sheep's clothing that we have, I think we would turn this around a lot quicker. In every poll, Americans actually want true independence and liberty, but both parties won't give it to us. I mean, 91% of Americans want to control our borders in all the major polls and Gallup polls, but both parties won't give it to us.
You're absolutely correct, Allison. Believe me, in between all the responsibilities in my life as a father, as a husband, as a neighbor, as a productive American, I would challenge you to find anyone who is more involved, more communication, gung-ho than this man you have on the phone right now. Believe me, as I salute the Governor Perrys and the Mike Huckabees, as I salute those Republicans that are doing a good job, I scold them more often than I salute them.
What did you think of the NAFTA highways and the Trans-Texas Corridor?
I think it's an abomination. And the good governor has heard from me on that. I pound my bully pulpit every day. Well, maybe not opening day of deer season, but every other day. And maybe not every day during the rut. But, Alex, I scream from every mountaintop I can that we the people, you know, I hang out with great ranchers and welders and plumbers and cops and teachers.
You're out by Kerrville, right?
And, well, I live up in Waco, and I hang out with Texans and Americans here. I'm in Iowa speaking to you. I was in South Dakota. I was up in Wisconsin. I'm traveling all over the nation. And I meet with wounded warriors, the heroes of the military, every day, Alex. And they are upset because they've sacrificed their legs and their arms for the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the American dream. And they're upset that the Republican Party has turned into Fetzilla, a pig, a gluttonous, slovenly, indulgent
Ted Nugent, stay there. Quick break. I want to come back with you, the new book, Ted White and Blue. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Ted Nugent, our final segment with him. And I'm going to be skipping the next break so we can have as much time with him as possible. Last time I had you for an hour, Ted, we've got to have you back up for a full hour so we can take calls sometime.
I'm all yours, Alex. I really appreciate the opportunity. And believe me, when I'm on the phone with you, I'm not representing the Nugent family alone. I'm representing families all across this great nation who are frustrated with the bureaucrats out there, and we need to upgrade this experiment in self-government as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Ted, fire out some of your websites for the listeners out there so they can check them out.
Well, certainly, Alex, I would invite you to come to tednugent.com. We have a talk back, and I got to tell you, you will never go to a website with more growing, vital, electric activism than you will find at tednugent.com talkback. I also write a weekly feature on humanevents.com and a weekly feature for the Waco Trib that you can find at wacotrib.com. But these are the kinds of activities that the Nugent family is involved with. And if you see the various television shows, I'm going to be on Anthony Bourdain shooting machine guns and cooking turkey here in the next couple weeks, on A&E with Chris Angel doing an archery exhibition and talking about freedom and talking about rugged individualism. I'm going to be on the Toby Keith movie coming up, Beer for My Horses, and even though I play a wild character, it's not unlike the way I live my life. So I try to be the best that I can be and try to penetrate as much of the media as possible to bring a U.S. Constitution and a Bill of Rights crowbar of truth to an otherwise communist propaganda network.
All right, Ted, I want to bring up now just a few quick key questions for you and get answers on those, just as because we're limited on time, the shortest answers we can possibly get from you.
Sure.
So I'm going to go ahead and ask you a few of those questions right now. We are talking with Ted Nugent, author, TV show host, of course, best known for being a great guitarist and a rock star. And in the few minutes we've got left with him today, Ted, the problem is the New World Order. The problem is the private Federal Reserve. And that's why both parties behave one way, the opposite of the Constitution, Bill of Rights. The problem is, you talk about defending the Bill of Rights and Constitution, and I know you're a good guy and believe in that, But when you actually look that they have used the Patriot Act on citizens and in non-terror related cases, when you look at the fact that the presidency is getting powers that Barack Obama is going to have when Bush is gone, even if you think Bush is, at some levels, a good guy, how do you respond to that statement? How do we deal? Well, first, are you aware of the New World Order, the globalist, and how do we deal with them?
Oh, I'm painfully aware of it, Alex, and it's important that you keep bringing this up because, once again, it is the bending over of the apathetic Americans that has facilitated the destruction and the erosion of our individual rights as guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And once again, the most important duty, not just the job, but a moral, spiritual obligation of each and every American is to have a whistle firmly placed between their teeth and being prepared to blow that whistle constantly. We've missed out since the New Deal, and that was the beginning of the New World Order. And the loss of individual freedoms and liberties that have been pounded on the American citizens over the years is absolutely vulgar and heartbreaking. But we the people can fix that. If you look, I'll give you an example real simple and short here. About 12 years ago, my gun permit was only good in about 6 states. Now it's good not only in 41 states as my concealed weapons permit, but as a sheriff deputy, because we passed House Resolution 218, I can carry my gun nationwide, and I do, daily. That's an example of how we can get the most politically incorrect, the most volatile issue, gun control, fixed if we the people hammer and we're joining organizations like the NRA and Gun Owners of America.
But Ted, you would like to see nationwide Vermont style, correct?
Well, number one, Alex, even without the U.S. Constitution or the Second Amendment, God gave me the gift of life and clearly the individual right and duty to protect that life. I don't need a document. I don't need another human being to authorize jack squat. My life is worth protecting.
It comes from God, not from the government. You're absolutely right, Ted.
It comes from God, and the government should just listen to my song, Don't Tread on Me. So we need to get back. Alex, when we have the inalienable, non-infringed right to keep and bear arms in the United States of America without any paperwork, that's when my job is complete.
Ted, let's say there is a big terror attack. A nuke goes off. Biological weapons are released. And we hear we've got to give in to martial law, whether it's George Bush or Barack Obama or John McCain in office. We hear we have to turn our guns in during an emergency. We see gun confiscation going on like happened in New Orleans. What is Ted Nugent going to do if the government ever comes to confiscate his guns?
I've already addressed this issue many, many years, even before the tragedy of Katrina, where corrupt law enforcement authority did in fact confiscate privately owned law-abiding citizens' firearms. I have a great communication, and this doesn't mean that we can rest easy, Alex, but hear me good. I get to train with the world's greatest warriors, and the majority of law enforcement in this country are indeed the best of the best. And I assure you, my friend, though there will be examples like Katrina where corrupt punks of law enforcement, that's a lunatic fringe, it is not law enforcement in general.
Well, they were led by the FBI.
Yeah, well, believe me, I train with the FBI, I train with DEA, I train with the federal marshals, I conduct the Falcon Raids, federal and local cops organized nationally, where we arrest the world's most dangerous fugitive felons. Alex, I assure you that 90%+ of local, state, and federal law enforcement officials will not execute a directive to confiscate law-abiding
Americans. Ted, we had always thought that, but we saw New Orleans. Now the governor of Illinois is announcing the National Guard. Did you see this? Is going to help in, quote, anti-gun sweeps. NBC News, did you see that?
Yes, I did.
What is your take on that?
My point is that we, the citizens, must have a better dialogue, a better relationship with our local, state, and federal law enforcement agents. And remember, Alex, I'm just a goofy guitar player, but I've been a sheriff deputy for 32 years. I've been sworn in as a constable in McLennan County, Texas.
So you're not going to hand your guns over is what you're saying?
Lead first.
Well, I mean, it's happening, Ted. In Illinois...
It happened in New Jersey and California 20 years ago, Alex.
I know. So I just want the people to know you're an icon out there, that Ted Nugent is aware of this, because some people, some conservatives are still in denial. We're trying to raise the alarm here.
I promise you this, Alex, if the vulgarity, the obscenity of Nazi-like tactics was ever implemented by the United States government or any of their law enforcement arms, there would be blood in the streets, and I promise you this, we the people would win. And if anybody in the government is monitoring this, my name is Ted Nugent, and if you come to take my guns, I will shoot you dead.
Amazing interview. Folks, visit InfoWars.com, TedNugent.com. Ted, check out InfoWars.com. Please research the info. We're going to go ahead and end this interview, but off air, let me get a good address to send you some of my films, sir, because I want to mail these out to you so you can see some of the things we've witnessed, okay?
Well, I'm on it, Allison. God bless you, and God bless all my friends across America, man.
Okay, thank you. Folks, we'll be right back.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fine. Might roll a brand new car.
Dealing with these rock stars is crazy. They got busy schedules. Ted was just going to be on for 30 minutes, but I think he canceled his other interview and is coming on longer. He wanted to, I guess, come back on longer. So we're going to have him call back here in just a moment and spend some more time with us because, wow, I mean, I really threw the gauntlet down to Ted Nugent and said, what do you do when they come for your guns? We got the National Guard now being used in gun sweeps in Illinois. I mean, that's NBC News. The governor announced it. The mayor announced it. We've got all this other craziness happening. I've seen polls where as high as 98%, they've had national law enforcement polls, over and over again, it's 98% saying we will not confiscate guns. We're pro-Second Amendment. Because police know about guns. They know they actually reduce crime. Your average cop is somebody who grew up with firearms and doesn't want to have theirs taken when they retire. And so it's quite a world where the bureaucrats and the mayors and the government wants to disarm the public to make us disarm serfs. But then we have the police that don't want to confiscate our guns. And that's a true statement from Ted Nugent. And, you know, this is where things get confusing because the people on the left and right at the grassroots just want liberty and freedom. Most of the liberals I know are becoming pro-Second Amendment. But the establishment is more anti-Second Amendment and self-defense than ever before. And so it has been quite a wild interview with Ted Nugent today. For those joining us, the websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.net, JonesReport.com. Mighty Film Truth Rising is the most important film I've ever made because it really shows you who the grassroots are resisting tyranny, and it's done in a cinema verite. In French, that means the cinema of truth. And it really is the truth. It is the lens. It is what the lens saw. It is not any voiceover or any of my opinions. It is an amazing documentary available at InfoWars.com or by calling 888-253-3139. We have former Congressman Dan Hamburg coming on to talk about the growing police state in about 25 minutes. And then I'm also scheduled to have John Hunt, son of the famous CIA Black Op Commander, former CIA Section Chief. So we cut his interview short last week because of a congressman who was on. So we're going to have him back on today to take your phone calls coming up in the fourth hour about well, that's about an hour and 25 minutes from now. And John, just let me know as soon as Nugent is back on the line, okay?
He's here.
He is here. Wow, what a surprise. We only had a 30-minute interview with him, and then I guess something opened up, and Ted said, why not do some more? So he's with us for another 24 minutes or so. If you want to talk to Ted Nugent, specifically for Ted Nugent, John, make sure they're for him on the subject of Second Amendment and liberty. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. Wow, Mr. Nugent, it's good to have you back so soon.
Alex, I'm pleased to return to your campfire, sir. Thank you.
Well, it's good. I'm glad something opened up for you in your busy schedule there. When you ended, we ran into break with you talking about What will happen if any tyrannical government under Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, the Easter Bunny, John McCain comes to confiscate Ted Nugent's guns? You said they will get it lead first and they will be in a pool of blood. And that is the attitude that built this country. And for those that demonize the founding fathers and say that they're bad, what do you say to them?
Well, you know, I'm constantly attacked for being an extremist, Alex, and I'm very proud of that label. I'm an extreme American. I believe in extreme independence and extreme liberty, and that means being a positive asset to my family, my neighborhood, and my country by being as productive as I can and to optimize my good over evil, my law-abiding life and my law-abiding family over lawbreakers and dangerous people. That being said, I find that, again, in my travels, I'm speaking to you from the Quad Cities of Iowa here in the Mississippi River. I perform every night, but I don't just do my concerts. I hang out with people. I have members of my Ted Nugent United Sportsman Organization, NRA members, Gun Owners of America, law enforcement. Every night, Alex, I have state, local, and federal law enforcement agents come back just for a rock and roll event. It's just coincidental that they happen to be dedicated heroes of law enforcement. And I assure you that if a tyrannical government attempted to infringe upon our freedoms to that dastardly Katrina level of privately owned law-abiding citizens' gun confiscation, at my side would be law enforcement heroes who would stand with the citizens of this country and, like a few good men, would refuse to implement an order against the Constitution and against self-evident truth-based freedoms and liberties. But that will be optimized by how we, the people, communicate with our local law enforcement. You know, Alex, I'm astounded when I meet an American citizen that doesn't know who his sheriff is, that doesn't know his chief of police, and who have failed to sit down and have a decent, short, but regular conversation with these heroes so that they can have a communication, they can have a relationship, and that they emphasize to law enforcement that this is my family's name, this is where we live, we are dedicated to supporting law enforcement and be law-abiding and to be the ears and eyes of our neighborhood. But make sure you know that the law enforcement agents work for we the people, and those are our laws they are enforcing. But that communication, Alex, is almost non-existent in this country.
Oh, Ted, you have hit the nail directly on the head. And let me throw this out at you and then get your response and your analysis from Ted Nugent. Ted, we get 60% turnouts on average for presidential elections. We get 45% turnouts on average for off-year national elections for Congress and the Senate. But locally, the national average is about 8%. Here in Austin, it's about 8.5%. I saw that in the paper last election. So this really is a key point that we look at the federal government, the internationalists, the UN coming in trying to take control of the feds through treaties, but the people aren't at the parapets. They're not at the Alamo's walls in the local government. And if we would come out and get involved and really run for office and check the candidates and support the good candidates, there is nothing on earth that could stop us.
Well, let's look at some of the manifestations of a social depravity that has been self-inflicted and a choice of an embarrassing percentage of Americans. Let's look at obesity for a second. That is a physical manifestation of a cultural deprivation where people just don't give a damn. They don't care. Too many Americans, let's first identify the good, because there's lots of good out there. There's lots of ultra-hard-working, good, decent
citizens. But we have to identify the bad so we can stop doing it.
We have to identify the flat tire, no matter how good that pickup truck is. And the flat tire in America is apathy. And everyone listening to us right now, they're clenching their fist and going, yeah, that's right, goddamn, that's right. Well, don't just say yeah to the radio. Don't just say yeah to your buddies around the campfire. Don't just say yeah to your buddies around the water cooler. Call your damn senator and your congressman and your mayor and your governor. Call your state rep and start identifying the horrors of welfare corruption and waste, the bureaucratic Fedzilla of gluttonous, slovenly, wasteful, anti-American agendas that is widespread across this country, any American who hasn't made an impact on their elected officials is a bad, negative, liability American. We've got to be in the asset column, and that means being involved in raising hell.
And well, I agree with you. There's another major problem. I have all the major Club of Rome, United Nations documents, federal documents, North American Union SPP documents that Judicial Watch sued and got. They plan to bring in green taxes that have nothing to do with conservation, which I know you and I are for in real environmentalism, but hijacking that whole movement to say what kind of light bulbs, what type of toilets, to tell you what you can and can't do, to tell you where you can put a bottling company, to tell you where you can put a factory. Total regulatory control and taxing all of our cars, taxing the air we exhale, saying carbon dioxide is deadly poison when all the studies show that global heating and cooling is natural. We have this huge international movement to bring in these taxes, and I have a stack of news here today where they are bringing in this whole new level where you're going to have bureaucrats involved in your daily life. They're going to hire high school kids to be, quote, climate cops to spy on us. Are you aware of all this, Ted?
I'm aware of all of it. In fact, I have numerous chapters in my new book, Ted White and Blue, that identifies the horror of the Fedzilla bulldozer that is plowing through our freedom and our liberty. Believe me, I've identified all this stuff, and I've got a huge chapter dedicated to how the Nugent family lives and how we raise hell. We figure that we have to raise hell at least one day a week to even deserve freedom the other 6 days. And if the rest of America would do this, Alex, I'm going to tell you, we could stop Fedzilla in its tracks. But Fedzilla is eating his boss. The boss of the bureaucrats is we the people. But right now, senators and congressmen are so arrogant and so convinced that we the people don't give a damn as long as we're fat, stupid, and drunk, and we've got a sporting event to watch on television, and we've got a six-pack, and we can conduct ourselves in a indulgent and gluttonous fashion, that they can tax us into oblivion.
Well, that's
an example, and boy, I go into great detail how we should just eliminate the FDA. We should eliminate the USDA. We should eliminate the EPA. We should eliminate OSHA. We should eliminate all these bureaucratic pigs that don't accomplish a damn good thing for America.
Well, I'll say this.
They become a liability.
If somebody hurts the environment or hurts somebody else, they are liable criminally and through the courts. You're absolutely right. Instead, they selectively enforce, shut down our industry and move it to China and Mexico where there's no environmental standards. But Ted, how do we deal with the Child Protective Services that are running around kidnapping 1.4 million children a year with no due process, A? And then B, how do we deal with all of these other, you know, forms of governmental piracy that are going on?
Well, once again, it's all about raising hell. It's about communicating with your neighbors and forming a community voice. And I could give you 1,000 examples of how we've been able to nip bureaucratic bulldozers in the bud, Alex, by just simple community activism. You know, if one person shows up at a community hearing where they're going to take our tax dollars and pay government shooters to go kill our deer for us, but we the people are not allowed to do the very thing that would turn that resource into an asset instead of Fedzilla forcing any resource, whether it's coal, oil, gas, or venison.
Well, Ted, for those that don't know, take outside Austin in one of the suburbs. They pay them $2,000 a deer to trap them and then to fly them to Mexico, and most of them die on the way because of the stress. There are starving deer in my neighborhood stumbling around, falling into each other. They've been run over. There's no predators. They're everywhere.
Texas, Alex, that is allowed to happen in Texas. That's bizarre. Meanwhile, your big, tough Texas ranchers and your big, tough Texas hunters, hunting is a $6 billion-a-year industry in Texas. The Texas Parks and Wildlife have done a good job, but if you were a good bass player, you couldn't be in my band. They're supposed to do a great job. And when American citizens' tax dollars are raped and pillaged, damage control instead of allowing we the people to implement quality control, i.e. the utilization of that wildlife resource as an asset instead of a liability, my head hangs and I weep tears of tyranny.
Well,
so
under
the kind of issues
under
that
the
I outlined
United
in Ted White and Blue, and the fix is fixable overnight, Alex, if we just get a dozen people to pound the desk and go, leave our resources alone, open the door to bureaucratic red tape so that we can utilize. And again, it's not just about deer or nuisance geese at the airport.
It's about control. It's about these individuals want to lock off more than half the country and not even let humans into them under United Nations treaties. And George Bush signed back on to UNESCO that does that, that Ronald Reagan pulled us out of. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm talking about citizens. How about the simplest of simple common sense things? I've got a pickup truck, Alex. It's registered. It has a license plate. I've got the registration. It's done. Why on God's good green earth do I have to register it again? It's registered. Leave me alone.
Absolutely. And why do we have warrantless checkpoints? And why is all
Bingo.
Of this happening? And the
well, again, our friends listening right now, they're nodding their heads. And I got to tell you, it's got to be 90%+. I don't care, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, 90%+ of America, when push comes to shove, would agree with a list of the self-evident truths that I outline in Ted White and Blue, and that you talk about every day on your radio show, and that I communicate with people across this nation every day, but they don't do a damn thing about it.
Well, you're right. I mean, people keep calling me saying what I need to do to save the country, and I try to explain to them the solution is looking at them in the mirror. Okay, I don't have all the answers. Okay, I don't have all the solutions. It's up to you, and I know this. Apathy is a green light to tyranny, and we're basically like legless, blind, deaf sheep who have been laid out in a field for wolves. Stop being a sheep, stand up like a sheepdog, and fight back, and that's when things are going to turn around. I'm going to skip this final break so we can go right up to the end of the hour with Ted Nugent. Let's talk to John in Texas. You're on the air with Ted Nugent. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say that Ted Nugent would be an awesome addition to the Freedom Truth Concert that you, Alex, and Willie Nelson are putting on.
Well, yeah, that's not even complete and set yet. But do you have any other comments for our guest?
Well, you know, if that concert does happen, I would just like to say that Ted would be an awesome addition. That's my two cents. Thanks a lot, guys.
John. God bless you for that, my friend.
Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and talk to Eric in Wisconsin. Eric, you're on the air with Ted Nugent. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Nugent, how are you doing today?
Greetings in the great Badger State, Eric.
Yes, you've been here a few times. I've actually watched you in concert.
Yeah, well, Eric, get ready because the Nugent Band is going to carpet bomb Wisconsin the next couple weeks, and it's going to be great to be back up there.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
Say, listen, I want to really thank you for doing your part. You're a real inspiration because I've been, I guess, teetering on the balance. You know, I see where people come from. They're afraid to do things because they're afraid that, you know, that there's going to be repercussions. And you know, I put two and two together, and that's what heroes do.
Well, inaction is action, and by laying there, you're saying run over me. See, people think just laying there being a spectator, they're not in the game. No, you're being run over. You're in the center lane.
Let me give you a metaphor, if I may, Alex.
Yeah.
My name is Ted Nugent. I run a bagel shop in Nuremberg. It's 1936, and a bunch of brown shirt punks are trying to tell me and my family to get on the train. Well, you know what Ted Nugent does? I take the Luger from the punk in the brown shirt, and I shoot him dead, and I prod my fellow Jews to never, ever obey an order to get on the train. And America better wake the hell up, demand that we respond viciously against the attack dogs of tyranny, and we take the Luger away from the brown shirt, and we shoot the son of a bitch dead, both literally and figuratively. And if Americans keep getting on the train, they will end up in the showers. Cut it out!
Where do you see America going if we don't turn things around? I mean, Barack Obama wants a million-person youth brigade armed to, quote, spy on the American people. They're creating environmental youth brigades to spy on people.
Well, and again, my confidence soars on the wings of an American eagle, Alex. again, the pulse I bring you from my travels every year, this is my 50th year. I just performed my 6,000th concert.
That was another question I had. Do you see people waking up?
Yeah. I really do. And again, I'm not promoting my website. I'm promoting activism. But go to TedNugent.com. In fact, Alex, we've got to organize it. If I can get on every day, you can find time to get on every day. And I want to see Alex Jones on my talkback board. And you won't believe the people that were just basically couch potato, do nothing, apathetic sheep who are growing horns because of the inspiration and the rallying cry, the battle cry.
You really want a million info warriors to paratroop down into your message board. Okay, watch out what you ask for, Ted.
Well, I hope so, because I got to tell you, I am not the commander. I am just a soldier in this activism war. I have some much brighter, much more wiser individuals than me, and I absorb that kind of wisdom, and it's all over my website.
Absolutely. Anything else, Eric in Wisconsin?
I'm on board. Let's do it. I'm not going to sit around anymore and watch this happen.
And hell, Eric, it's the American dream, man.
And Eric, we have this Hollywood image of where the hero has to do it all himself. Go to your city council. Speak out on what issues are important to you. Start a website. Call into radio talk shows like you're doing now.
And raise hell with Governor Doyle up there in Wisconsin, who doesn't believe in the Second Amendment, while innocent Wisconsin people are forced into unarmed helplessness because there's no concealed weapons statute in the great state of Wisconsin, and innocent people are dying.
And we know the crime rate drops by, on average, 20% within 2 years of a concealed carry going in.
Yeah, well, here's the beautiful thing. My name is Ted Nugent. Wherever I am is not a gun-free zone.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Let's go to Judith. Go to Judith now in British Columbia. You're on the air with Ted Nugent.
Judith, God bless British Columbia. I just came back from Vancouver.
What's that?
I just got home from Vancouver, Judith. You have a beautiful God's country up there.
Yes, we do. We do. We certainly do. Direct a question to you, I've got about 12 questions, about 7 comments, 2 or 3 areas of disagreement, and 1 plug. But to direct something in your line would be, can we have a lawsuit action against the media for lying to us about 9/11?
No, we can't.
Why?
But we can raise hell and raise such a pulse on the streets of our nation.
Hey, Judith, what we need to do is we need to, can we sue these governors, Ted, that are trying to stop our First Amendment and our Second Amendment rights, like New York continues to sue gun manufacturers all over the country trying to take our rights in Texas and other states, and to me that's racketeering and a civil rights violation. Judith, thanks for the call.
Judith, I hope Judith is listening, because I spend a lot of time in Canada, Alex, and they held rallies with hundreds of thousands of people in the capitals of the different provinces of Canada.
To not have their guns taken.
But they still had to deal with the outrageous anti-freedom bureaucracy Fedzilla monster of C-68. We go into details on that. I'm sure you've talked about it in the past. But just like New York, do you realize how many citizens in New York do own guns and do carry guns in total violation of the Sullivan Law? That's because as long as they don't bring attention to themselves, they think that they can go on being illegal while the policies guarantee the helpless, unarmed victims of violent recidivism every day.
And now the police do random Fourth Amendment violations. I've been there where they lock down whole streets and start searching everyone. I mean, that's Nazi Germany right there. Let's take one final call from Travis in Seattle for the one, the only, Ted Nugent. Go ahead, Travis.
Hello, Travis.
Hey, Ted, I just got a question for you. You said you work with law enforcement as a federal helper or something?
Yes, I conduct federal raids with law enforcement against fugitive felons.
Okay, do you believe that the Constitution refers to a crime as something that goes against your life, liberty, or property?
Certainly.
Okay, so just as a hypothetical, say I had a field full of weed here, would you be involved in coming and taking it from me?
Well, I got to tell you, Travis, I've been a rock and roller all my life, and I've watched the lie of dope smoking being a victimless crime. I have attended way too many funerals and visited way too many paraplegic and quadriplegics because people getting high have destroyed innocent lives every day. So we as a citizenry must identify that conduct and those procedures by which innocent victims are being destroyed and mutilated and killed every day so that some mindless hippie can smoke dope and drop out. And you're goddamn right I'd raid that place because I want people who want to get stoned and become a liability to stop it in America.
Travis, thank you for the call. We have to end it here on a negative note. Ted, we've got triple the heroin, double the cocaine. It's like prohibition with alcohol. It made it increase. It corrupted our police. I don't smoke pot. I don't like people bumbling around stoned around me, but I don't think they should be locked up in prisons for 20 cents an hour taking my job away. That's why I think we need to really look at these drug laws.
I think we do need to look at the drug laws, but what we really need is going back to that apathy, Alex.
So you don't like apathy, and you think marijuana adds to apathy?
The entire desire of getting stoned is to become a lump, to become apathetic, and to drop out, and to become a liability. And that's irresponsible, and that's dangerous.
I don't want to pay for them in prison.
I don't want to pay for them in prison either, quite honestly. Alex, you know, God bless you for doing this. And God bless you for facilitating and celebrating my First Amendment rights.
You bet. Ted Nugent, it was great having you on. Let us have you back up soon.
I hope so. Godspeed, everybody, and happy Independence Day.
Ted Nugent just said he wants to come on with Ted Reports on a routine basis. I will tell you, folks, that behind the scenes, he knows a lot more than what he's saying. He did call for blasting people in pools of blood if they come for his guns. We had the former head of the Treasury, the father of Reaganomics, Wall Street Journal editor on a few days ago. In fact, I'm going to play that coming up later, John. I forgot to do that. It was right at the end of his interview with us, what was it, Friday, that sent shockwaves when he said, attack police, overturn police cars. I mean, I'm not even calling for that. But people are getting sick of it, folks. Even Ted Nugent, who's a cop, I mean, he's telling you he's getting sick of it. We can all argue about minutia, but it's gone too far. And I think that the answer to 1984 is 1776, be that an info war or whatever it is. Now look, I've been around enough, I've seen enough to not be into violence. I'm not like a 15-year-old that thinks it's cool. You know, I understand how serious it is. And I'm not calling for it, but a spirit of that is rising because the spirit of tyranny is rising. And when tyranny rises, liberty rises to meet it. For every action, there's an equal reaction. It's a simple law of quantum mechanics and physics. So I think this, taking us out to break, says it all. We have to get mad. We have to get angry first and then take action, just getting a buzz going, speaking out, saying no, getting aggressive, waking others up, and making it fun to fight tyranny. We got former congressman coming on about the martial law takeover grid. Powerful info straight ahead after this break. I leave you with... I'm mad as hell.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe. Our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell,
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Back in February of this year, an article was written by former Congressman Dan Hamburg for the San Francisco Chronicle that got a lot of attention around the nation, and rightfully so. It was titled, Rule by Fear or Rule by Law? We've reposted a link to that up on InfoWars.com. The power of the executive to cast a man into prison without formulating any charge known to law, and particularly to deny him the judgment of his peers, is the highest degree odious and is the foundation of all totalitarian governments, whether Nazi or communist. And then he gets into the concentration camps for American citizens that are mainstream, declassified, the secret arrest, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act. It is not rumor. It is not some wild fantasy. It is undeniable fact. And the Democrats have now been in office for over a year and a half. They are actually intensifying all these powers. They are calling for even more powers. They are giving aid and comfort to the enemy of the Republic, George Bush, and his criminal cohorts. They have passed the warrantless spying against the American people. They want the power when George Bush is gone, if he ever leaves. This is why I'm nonpartisan. When I first woke up politically, I was a libertarian-style Republican until I figured out they were as bad or worse, depending on which administration. We just had Ted Nugent on. He means well, but he loves the police state on one hand and then hates it on the other, supporting the phony drug war, which is sad. And then you have the left that loves liberty on one hand, but then tries to take it away on the other on so many other issues. We have to get a culture of liberty back. That takes the tools of the elite away. That takes their mechanisms to dominate and oppress populations away. We are very honored for the next 15 minutes to be joined by the Congressman, Dan Hamburg, because a lot has happened in the last 5 months since he was with us, and I was amazed at his depth and breadth of knowledge and wish he was still in the Congress. You know, we love people that support liberty and freedom and understand what's happening, whether it's Dennis Kucinich or Ron Paul. To us, it's nonpartisan. It's an issue of not going into total martial law. Now the economy's imploding by design. The dollar's being annihilated by design. We're on the verge of attacking Iran or supporting an attack against Iran. The White House has come out and said, make no mistake, we support Israel attacking Iran today. And so joining us for the next 15 minutes is Dan Hamburg. Mr. Hamburg, good to have you here with us.
Thank you, Alex. Good to be here.
Your comments on the left-right paradigm, sir, it paralyzes us, in my opinion, as the elite co-opts both the left and the right, and its agenda moves forward. Your response to the left-right paradigm, and do you agree that it's hamstringing us or bogging us down in the muck? And if you do, how do we get around that?
Well, I think one thing that's happening is that the left and the right are finding the places where they meet, places where they share a profound disillusionment with the way the government is being run. And that's why you see people, like yesterday, I was watching a clip of the these hearings that John Conyers has convened, you know, at Dennis Kucinich's request. And I was glad to see Bob Barr, you know, sitting right next to Elizabeth Holtzman, and Bruce Fine, who's known as a conservative constitutional scholar, sitting there on that same table of witnesses. And that was encouraging to me, that, you know, people as far on the right as Barr, who a lot of your listeners probably remember was a key figure in the Clinton impeachment, you know, sitting right next to a very liberal former congresswoman, Elizabeth Holtzman, and sharing the same idea, that idea being that if we, the people, don't stand up to this hollowing out of the values and the ideals that actually are the basis for the formation of this country, then we don't have much left. And, you know, I'm encouraged that the right and the left can do that. I totally share your chagrin at, or your disgust, your anger. I feel the same way at what we've seen out of the Democrats over the last year and a half. I saw a little clip this morning on Free Speech TV of Nancy Pelosi. She was on this TV program called The View. That's a very popular show. And one of the women on The View said to Pelosi, you know, what is going on? A year and a half into your regime of leading the House, nothing's been done to stop George Bush and his minions from running roughshod over the Constitution. Why haven't you supported impeachment? And, you know, she basically sidestepped the question and went on to talk about veterans' benefits and a variety of other things. But I just think that things are getting to the boiling point here where people are extremely upset. I could see the possibility, though, that if Obama were to win the presidency and become president and were to continue to govern the country in a very similar mode to what we've been seeing over the past 20 years, 30 years, that people, you know, may finally reach that point at which they say, hey, this whole thing is just not working.
I agree. We have Congress with a 9% approval rating, the lowest it's ever been. That shows the people know the system is broken, and they think because they can put a brown face up there that that'll somehow fool people that it's a change. The population could care less what color he is. They want real change, and they're now starting to figure out him voting for the warrantless spying, now saying he's for other military actions, that I do see the left, faster than the right's woken up to Bush, becoming horrified. What do you see happening? Being a congressman, businessman, you know.
Well, I want to just.
What do you see happening in the future?
Well, I want to know one thing Paul Craig Roberts said, and I'm sure you're familiar with the stuff that he writes. You know, he's the guy who was an assistant treasury secretary under Reagan. He was a associate editor of the Wall Street Journal. So this is a guy with his plenty of conservative credentials. And Paul Craig Roberts says that the you-know-what is really going to hit the fan about 2 years into Obama's first term.
Depression.
When people realize that everything's the same, that nothing's really changing, except maybe interest rates will be raised because the United States is going broke, and it's got to figure out a way to attract more foreign capital to keep this whole thing, from just falling over. The other thing, though, before we get to November of this year, is what are the neocons going to do? And I wrote an article with Lewis Seiler that was published pretty broadly in August. No, wait a minute. This is August. I guess it was in June, in which we laid out our belief that the neocons are not going to hand the keys to the car over to Barack Obama or anyone else who presents the slightest threat to them. And we were raising the alarm that there certainly could be an attack on Iran, initiated by Israel or initiated, you know, by a false flag attack.
A huge October surprise or a bundle of October surprises.
Well, that is totally possible. And also, we, through an associate of ours, Wayne Mattson, we began looking at what was going on, particularly at the Port of Houston, and looking at the murder of a former high-ranking CIA agent,
Carnaby,
and trying to figure out what the hell was going on down there and what the reason was that a couple of Houston cops shot a CIA operative whose only crime seemed to be that he knew too much. So, you know, there's two big things out there that I'm particularly concerned about. One is the possibility of an expanded war in the Middle East, and the other is the possibility of a false flag attack, which really, you know, we know that the only polling data that looks good for John McCain is that which has to do with national security. In every other category, you know, he's way, way down below Obama. So, you know, his own guy, Charlie Black, said it. He said, "There's, you know, the only thing that, you know, it would really help our campaign if there was another 9/11 between now and Election Day." And I think he's right. I do think they need something that extreme in order to ensure that John McCain is the next president and thereby ensure that their current program will not be interrupted.
And this is a very real threat. When we have Gary Hart coming out and writing letters to Ahmadinejad of Iran saying our government stages terror attacks, don't think for a minute that because 80%+ of Americans are against a war that we won't stage something. And then we went and interviewed him. We Are Changed It. It's in my film Truth Rising. And said, you said the government stages events. And he said, yes, the government may stage events. And then Zbigniew Brzezinski went before the Senate, as you know, last year and said the same thing. And then we have all these Republican memos coming out and saying it. It's almost like it's an open secret now. And I'll never forget in 2002 when there was a 9/11 investigation starting in Congress. So they created the 9/11 Whitewash Commission to overshadow it and preempt it. And Cheney on, it was Meet the Press or Face the Nation. I've got the clip around here somewhere. He says, well, there better not be an investigation of 9/11. That will frustrate us in fighting terror, and then it will assure a nuclear attack. And then he made this threatening look. I mean,
Then, you know, when he says stuff like that, I start wondering about the disappearance of the 6 nuclear bombs that were flown from, you know, the air base in North Dakota down to Louisiana. And that whole incident, which led to the firing of Mosley and Wynn, the two top people in the Air Force, by Bob Gates, seems to be, you know, as close as I can tell, Bob Gates seems to be, the grown-up trying to keep these guys from doing something nuts in the next, 4 or 5 months. But when Bob Gates is the person that you're counting on, you know, Bob Gates, who was one of
Stay there. Got a break. We'll be right back with a former congressman. Stay with us.
I'm gonna chase the sky forever. But the woman and the stallion and the wind. Gonna burn into a cinder before we ever pass this way again.
And we're gonna ride, we're gonna ride.
We're gonna open the phones up.
Ride like a one-eyed jack of diamonds with the devil.
Coming up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231, former Congressman Daniel Hamburg. We've got links to his website, voicetheenvironment.org, up on Infowars.com right now. I want to go back to what you're talking about with Houston and the North Dakota nukes and all the things we see happening. And then I want to go back to now 5 months later, the article you wrote with just all the facts and links to the government admissions to this huge system of oppression that's being built. And now I guess they're preparing to hand off to the Democrats, but you're saying that may not even happen.
you know, my guess is that Dick Cheney and his little cabal will not go down without a fight. I mean, I think there's a struggle going on within the administration. I think that Bob Gates is on one side of it. I think Cheney's on the other side of it. And, of course, there's lots of other underlings on both sides. But I think that both the Minot Air Force Base, transfer of cruise missiles down to Louisiana, down to Barksdale, which is the staging base for the Air Force in sending munitions and planes and supplies over to the Middle East. I think that event, if you look at that event, you look at the NIE, the release in October by the 16 intelligence agency, basically cutting the legs out from under the Cheney argument that, that Iran was poised to have a nuclear weapon. And, of course, you know, that national intelligence estimate said that, in fact, Iran had seriously curtailed, if not stopped, their efforts in 2003 at that. And then a third thing, this whole thing with Carnaby being murdered by the Houston police because it seemed like he simply knew too much about the security lapses that were happening at the Port of Houston, and that there were officers down there as part of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is the FBI and the CIA, down doing security at the Port of Houston. There were agents there who were saying, why aren't we tightening security here? Why on this 25-mile channel, which is one of the most explosive places on planet Earth and one of the most easily accessed, I think it's the port into which more foreign goods come than any other port in the United States.
That's right. They say that the biggest man-made disaster in U.S. history.
It is.
As far as material, was back in the 40s when that ammonium nitrate ship blew up down there.
And these agents down there, I mean, again, according to Madsen, are saying, why is there no security here? And, you know, you start to wonder, well, why was there no security at the World Trade Center? Why did all those squadrons of naval planes stay on the tarmac when four planes were hijacked on the eastern seaboard of the United States on
November 11th? In June, Cheney took the shoot-down power that the military had as a default since 57, and he took that power unto himself in order to stand down.
Well, Cheney is probably the most powerful and certainly one of the most malevolent creatures on the planet today. And he is still in a position of great power. For one thing, he seems to own the president, if not the presidency. And then, of course, there's the whole issue, which we haven't really gotten into yet, which is what that February article that Lewis Seiler and I wrote was about, which is that the United States is very likely, in its current form, in a continuity of government mode, which means that there is only one branch, that the checks and balances have effectively been tossed aside in favor of this unitary executive where all power resides in the Oval Office. And this is totally against everything that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights stands for. And I don't, not only do the American people not seem to realize this, I know they don't, but I don't think even members of Congress realize that their power has been almost totally taken away, if not totally taken away. We saw that for one thing.
Congressman, we got to break again. Let's come back and talk about that right now. Some in Congress do know. They wanted to see PDD 51 and have been told they're not allowed to see it. We'll be right back. Talking to Daniel Hamburg, former Democratic congressman from California, national congressman, and he's one of the good guys. You know, I scream and yell about this all day. PDD 51, amongst other things, the president has declared a unitary executive, saying that the other branches of government are not co-equal. Now, that is even a more modern view that they were co-equal. Read that the founding fathers pretty much unanimously said there were debates about this, the Federalist, the Anti-Federalist. The only person that wanted the president to have more power than anybody was Alexander Hamilton, and he wanted him to be a king. But everybody else, and the federal court rulings and how our government works, is the Congress, because you have more members there, and they represent their local districts. It has the most power. It passes the laws, and then the president executes those. He is literally a gopher. Okay, and then you have the courts that referee and decide if what the Congress is doing is constitutional. And then the president is given power by nominating members to the court. So it's all about separation of powers. But if you really read the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers and the debates of the time, the Congress, because it was more separated, and it would be harder to get a dictatorship in the Congress because they set powerful men against each other and powerful interests against each other. It was an ingenious system, but it had faults because the human condition has faults. It has now been bought up by special interest and decadence and ignorance and blackmail. And the congressman can, of course, speak to that being up there on the Hill. I want to go to your phone calls, but Daniel, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the floor for about 6-7 minutes to get into your article of 5 months ago and what it covered. And the fact that the Homeland Security, I mean, then it was just a member of the Homeland Security Board and the chairman had asked for it. Now they've been told no by the White House, but just the cover sheet of PDD 51 that Congress isn't allowed to see, the Homeland Security Committee, highest level security clearance. They're not allowed to see that, but the cover sheet says the president is basically God for any reason. So you've got the floor. I'm not going to interrupt you. I want you to cover whatever you think is most important.
Well, you know, just taking off from what you're saying here, originally it was Peter DeFazio, who was simply a member of the Homeland Security Committee of the House. And when he wasn't allowed to read what I've seen called the addenda to this Presidential National Security, I think it's NSPD 51, National Security Presidential Directive 51. And when DeFazio realized that he was being denied access to these documents, he went to Benny Thompson, who was the chair of the Homeland Security Committee. And Thompson was rebuffed the same way. It was interesting to read also that many prominent senators, including Tom Daschle, who at the time was the majority leader of the Senate, Robert Byrd, the most senior Democrat in the Senate, and many other high-ranking members of Congress were denied access. Now when the president issues a directive, as he did in 2007 with this one, and then refuses to allow Congress to see the conditions under which they are being governed and the country is being governed, you know that something stinks to high heaven. What Bush had done prior to NSPD 51, as I said, that came in 2000, that was issued by Bush in 2007. What a lot of people don't realize is that since 9/11, when Bush issued Military Order Number 1, he basically took control of the country at that point. A state of emergency was declared on, I believe it was September 14th, 2001. That state of emergency was continued every year since then, all the way up until 2007, when I believe, based on the research that I've done and that I've done with Mr. Seiler, that NSPD 51 only gave the president any shred of power he didn't have under the previous declarations of national emergency. He has now taken them on through NSPD 51, and that's why they won't allow any members of Congress to even see what these documents entail. So basically, we're in, I believe, a state of emergency under a continuity of government scenario. And if people think that's too preposterous, I'd like to direct them to some articles which point out that Cheney, with his buddy Donald Rumsfeld, have been honing these plans for a unitary executive for an all-powerful presidency, which, as you mentioned earlier, Alice, goes back to Alexander Hamilton, and Hamilton lost that argument. But Cheney and Rumsfeld have set about over the last 30 years to win that argument. They were very disgusted by Watergate, by Nixon having to cede power because of his violations of law. And you remember what Nixon said when he was interviewed a couple years later by David Frost, which was that if the president does it, it is therefore legal. Well, that's not the way the United States of America is supposed to work. That's not in our Constitution. But Rumsfeld and Cheney got together in the Ford administration, where Cheney was the Cheney was chief of staff to Gerald Ford. Rumsfeld, at that point, was the youngest Secretary of Defense in the country's history. Later, during the administration of George W. Bush, he became the oldest Secretary of Defense in history. But anyway, when these two guys got together, their purpose was to figure out how to install an all-powerful executive and all the trimmings that go with it. And what are the trimmings that go with it? Things like torture, rendition, warrantless wiretapping, surveillance of law-abiding citizens, detention camps. This whole thing has been worked on for 30 years, and I'd urge people to look at an article by Roger Morris called The Undertaker's Tally, which lays out the whole 30 years during which these two designed just the plan that has been implemented since 9/11. And, of course, that should lead any inquiring mind back to the events of 9/11 and the Project for New American Century, which said in their document dated in 2000 that what the United people of the United States would need was another Pearl Harbor in order to wake them up to the realities of the current world situation, and that the United States would not be able to maintain its preeminent position in the global power structure unless there was another Pearl Harbor type event that galvanized them to at least accept the kinds of things that would have to happen. And those are exactly the things we've seen happen. We've seen this invasion of the Middle East. We've seen the invasion of Afghanistan. We've seen rendition, torture, et cetera, et cetera. The whole national security state really taking total predominance.
Well, we certainly have. Congressman Hamburg, please continue with other reasons they want this martial law grid that can't be questioned. They can federalize local police. They can, under the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, take over the governorships. This is all being done through the threat fusion centers, the emergency management centers built in the late 90s. They're openly moving National Guard in now with CIA officers in Texas and Illinois and New York and all over the place. I mean, this is martial law, kind of a Red Dawn scenario.
In
not even slow motion now. It's happening faster and faster all around us. And then, as you said, you look at the fingerprints of terror attacks, and it's government. It's black ops. And now I want you to comment on further things they're using this for before we get calls. That's A. But then B, I do see a larger grassroots awakening taking place than I think they expected. And the feedback we're getting from everybody across the nation and the world is there is a quickening of an awakening that's happening. And so, B, how does that, how do you think that will play into this?
Well, I think that, you know, when you talk about the detention camps, what the detention camps are really for, and you hear people like Dan Ellsberg saying, well, you know, of course they'd be glad to stick immigrants in these camps, but they're also very useful to detain people who are not, you know, going along with the program.
Well, that's prima facie.
What if there was an attack of Iran?
Well,
I imagine you'd see millions of Americans in the streets.
But, Congressman, you're not imagining. The original Rex 84 plan said they would use immigrants' detention as the cover to institutionalize and sell the mass arrest of the public. And then now they even said in the Houston Chronicle, when they reported on it 2 years ago, that it's for immigrants and dissenters.
Yeah, and how interesting that during the Iran-Contra hearings that were chaired by Senator Inouye, that Congressman Jack Brooks of Texas tried to dig into Oliver North's Rex 84, and Inouye quickly shushed him and said, that is not something we can discuss in open session. So these things have been around for quite a while.
But then it was skeletal. Now it is an 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah. But I think it's important for people to realize that none of these things happened overnight or during the tenure of any particular president.
Now, this is a long, cold-blooded takeover of the society by the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, and I would really urge people to take a look on the Common Dreams website and look at the latest article by Chalmers Johnson called The Military-Industrial Complex. It's much later than you think, because what he goes into there is how almost the entire, 70% of the U.S. intelligence budget is now in the hands of private contractors. In other words, we are paying for-profit companies to do our intelligence, for the nation, and we wonder why the intelligence that we get is so badly flawed. And we wonder why we as Americans are so quickly losing any control over our government. Well, it's because our government is basically functioning as a paymaster for mercenary corporations that are running the intelligence establishment.
This is the nation being absorbed by the privately owned military-industrial complex, and now you have the big defense contractors with intelligence subdivisions right there, total conflict of interest, and they're saying the people are the enemy, the people are the terrorist, we've got to spy and arrest and build more prisons.
Right, it makes work for them, it makes profit for them to, the more of us they can put into their database, the more they can bill us for in the form of these contracts. I mean, companies like Science Applications International, Booz Allen Hamilton, CACI International, these are huge contractors with the United States government to do the work that used to be done by people who were at least accountable to us because they worked for the government.
That's right. In a way,
there's no accountability.
In a way, Blackwater's a diversion. They're tiny compared to the larger, more quiet formations that we see.
Yeah, and if Congress refuses to do a certain thing like this, remember when John Poindexter came out with his Total Information Awareness Program, and William Sapphire of the New York Times got all upset and said, we can't have 300 million Americans with dossiers that with every purchase they make and every magazine subscription. Well, Congress said, okay, we'll get rid of that TIA program. But you know what? It's still going on. They just contracted it out to Booz Allen or one of these other companies.
That's right, right there.
And now, what is it? Maine Corps and Carnivore and Echelon and Promise. I mean, they've got everything they need to know on many millions of us.
It's completely criminal, and then they have a cynical national debate about, can't we listen to a phone call from Bin Laden to America? When it has nothing to do with that, it's everything.
Don't dumb down. What did George Carlin say? He said that the American educational system doesn't work for some very good reasons, and those reasons have to do with the distribution of power in the society. They don't want us to know. They don't want us to be smart enough to even ask questions.
Well, it's coming to a head, Congressman. Before we go to
and
calls,
then you watch these cable news programs, and all they've been covering is Obama, Clinton, McCain for the last year. It's just like nothing else is happening on the planet except this, this glamorized horse race.
Well, we know why they've preemptively built their police state, their control grid, because they plan to completely destroy the middle class and transfer all the wealth into private offshore corporations. And they inflated the dollar. They bought real assets with it. Now they're going to leave us holding the bag and the debt. Do you see any ways out of this? Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel?
I hate to sound cliche-ish, but it's all up to the American people. It's like that clip you were playing before I came on. We're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And it's almost that simple. I mean, people have just got to decide they're not going to take it anymore. And I'm encouraged by your saying that you think that kind of a feeling is spreading around the country. I think people are very angry about what happened after November 2006. And I think, should by some slim chance Obama become president, and if he doesn't address these issues, I just think things are going to have to get worse before they get better. I hate to say that, but I think it's true. I think people are still very complacent. I think they believe that, somehow there'll be another bailout, another rescue, another bubble, some way that the middle class can sustain itself. But we've run out of bubbles.
Well, it's been said by economists, this isn't a bubble, this is a tumor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just...
Well, Congressman, I'll tell you this. I have a feeling that people are waking up. I have the hard, cold facts and the numbers on that. So it's kind of a duality, or the best of times, worst of times. At the same time, I have a deep foreboding just from my intellectual analysis of what's happening. It appears that the elite is intending just to go to the wall. They're a bunch of old, vicious, psychopathic men who enjoy hurting people and enjoy wars and enjoy evil. And I think we're going into something that's going to make Joe Stalin and Hitler, I think it's going to rival that.
Well, another way it can go is the demise of the United States as a country, into a North American Union with a new currency, since the dollar will be, you can stick it in enough in a wheelbarrow to buy a loaf of bread, that kind of thing. And people will say, oh, a new currency that's actually worth something. It'll be... part of the new governmental entity, which no longer really includes the United States of America or its Constitution.
We're going to come back in a final segment with our guest and talk to Steve Morgan, Belion, Harry. Maybe hold our guest 5 minutes the next hour, so we'll have 10 minutes to take calls. These are the times, as I've said, that try men's souls. And... we're under the gun right now. Everybody better have a gut check, because this isn't a game. Government documents and keep track of what's happening around us. But see, more and more Americans are becoming the crazy people who question authority and study history and recognize what's happening. And in that lies the hope, ladies and gentlemen. Be glad that a lot of people are awakening. Steve in Illinois, you are on the air right now with former Congressman Dan Hamburg. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wanting to get on with Ted Nugent, but didn't seem to.
He's not here, so yeah, you go ahead.
Well, I just wasn't he at Woodstock? I just wondered how he got along. He wasn't?
I don't believe so, sir. Thank you for the call.
Wait a minute, I got something for...
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
What about career politicians, if we got rid of that? And I would like to... They say that the police and army, will stand by the citizens... I believe in World War One, the veterans were awarded extra pay for combat, I believe. It took 21 years to get them, and they boycotted, walked on the White House, and the Army was sent in with tear gas and tanks and run them off. And it was the same, they're fighting for their rights. And I just don't think it's going to happen.
The bonus marchers and two young... World War One vets, officers, did the attack and were promoted for it against their own soldiers who were promised the pay. And your government will cheat you. It enjoys it. And now we're being told General Motors
retirees are not going to get their retirement. They're not going to get their health care. Congressman, your comments on that?
Well, you know, I think governments will go to almost any extent in order to perpetuate themselves. And, you know, as to whether you would have police or military units actually going against commanding officers and refusing to, you know, say in an urban riot control situation, fire on their own citizens, it makes me think back to Tiananmen Square. Now, you know, I know that was in China, not in the land of the free, but in that case, what they did was they, you know, they brought these guys in from a faraway province, you know, far away from Beijing, and they told them that they were facing gangs of violent hoodlums, and they stuffed them full of methadrine and, you know, other kinds of drugs to get them in the mood, and then they set them loose on people, and you're damn right they fired their guns and, you know, used their bayonets and whatever they wanted to use. And I think that it doesn't function that much different, at least in the kind of democracy we have now in this country. I don't see a situation where the military will refuse to do what their commanding officers say. At least not on a. I don't think that's.
But there's one big difference in the equation. We have over 100 million armed Americans, and if 1% fight back, that's 1 million. Lone wolf resistors, and no army can stand against that, Congressman.
Well, it's true. And I used to, you know, since I am a, you know, sort of on the left and a liberal, I used to be much more into control of firearms than I am now, because I don't, you know.
Stay there. Exactly. All the liberals I know are buying guns. Stay there. We'll be right back. During a break earlier, I looked at several different clips of Jesse Ventura yesterday on the Howard Stern Show, and Stern, instead of making fun of him, basically agreed on Inside Job to a certain extent. But Ventura was more fiery than he's ever been. You know, we woke Ventura up to the Inside Job. A year and a half ago, I gave him then-released Terror Storm and some other films. That partially woke him up. He read 12 books, and his son gave him loose change. Now I've gotten to know him pretty good. We're friends. I was talking to him just, what was it, last Thursday at his home about the whole New World Order situation. He went on, he really broke it down well. I'm going to play that in the last 10 minutes of the show today. E. Howard Hunt's son, St. John Hunt's coming up in a few minutes. I want to get to one or two more calls for our guest. We'll give you his website before he leaves us. We're very thankful to his service to this country. Yeah, I mean, it isn't that a lot of liberals well-meaningly thought, oh my God, guns are violent, they're bad, or they didn't grow up around them. They thought, we got to control these, it's causing all these killings. No, it's that America is a violent, piratical, cutthroat nation of criminals and explorers and slaves and native wars. And so we're just violent, folks. That's the way it is. And so our guns get taken, we just got a bunch of Nazis over us killing us. And that's why you can't get rid of the guns, because then only the crooks are going to have them. And everybody I know on the left, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the Sheen family. You think of them as liberal? Or, you know, somebody like Willie Nelson or I mean, they believe in the Second Amendment now more than ever, because people see that you don't want the government with a monopoly of force. Mr. Hamburg, you brought up an interesting point there, Congressman. You want to comment more on that?
I was saying my own evolution from someone who really wanted very strict control of guns, and now I really do question that. But I think a lot of, you know, you're talking about the violence of the society. A lot of it comes from the top. If the federal government is perpetrating violence, I think that creates an idea in the minds of citizens that violence is the way you get things done.
Legitimizes.
And, yeah, and I think our federal government goes a long way toward legitimizing all kinds of things that we as a society need a lot less of.
Well said. Absolutely well said. Oh, I mean, folks, you think I like gangbangers on the streets with guns when I have children? No.
Heck no.
But I know that if they take my guns here, I'll end up being like New York or Chicago with the highest crime rates, because then both criminal government and street criminals all flock there. Just an amazing interview. I wanted to go to Bellion and Harriet and Chris, but we just don't have time with the congressman. We got about 2 minutes left, sir. Plug your website, and in 2 minutes, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, well, www.voicetheenvironment.org. And, you know, I just want to thank you, Alex, for having this program and for allowing me to be on it. People go to our website. They can see a number of articles that that Lewis Seiler and I have co-authored. As I said, the most recent was on this idea of the United States being in a state of emergency in reality because of these emergency documents and the NSPD 51, but also because we have very pathological men and women who are responsible for guiding this country over the next 6 months until hopefully we'll transition to a new administration. And again, will that new administration be any different than the old one, or just kind of a dressed-up version? And I think most of the evidence is kind of pointing toward the latter rather than the former. But the truth shall set us free. Stay informed. Tell your friends. You know, there's a fantastic documentary. If Bush has done one thing good, it's helping to create this wave of great documentary films that people can now get access to and really get an understanding of how their country is being decimated around their very...
Well, it's like you said earlier, Congressman, things have got to get bad before they get better, and they have gotten bad, and so people are finding out you don't know what you have till it's gone. They're finding we're having our liberties taken, so people are finally caring and finally starting to wake up and get involved, and it's causing an awakening that transcends race, religion, political stripe. Congressman,
well, that's what we need.
Yes, yes, sir. Congressman Hamburg, thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you, Alex. Take care.
You bet. God bless. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
In the last 10 minutes of the show, I'm going to air some excerpts of Jesse Ventura on Stern. He's really getting it now. It's one of the things I'm proud of. No doubt we have given him much of his education. Plus, he's a worldly person who's seen a lot in the military and then as a governor. And so he's really expanding his knowledge. In fact, some of the things I've even said to him on air and then privately, I've heard him now saying on other shows. He has agreed to come on the show on a routine basis, Governor Ventura, while he is in the U.S. 6 months out of the year. The rest of the time, he is basically evacuating down to Mexico, seeing what's happening. He even said the Cold War, he believes, is staged now in this new clip we'll be playing at the end of the show. For the next 40 minutes or so, I said I would have him back this week just to take your phone calls. You want to be able to pick the brain of the son, the firstborn son of E. Howard Hunt, the spy chief, the black op commander, individual who, on his deathbed or before he died, admitted that he had been in control or been one of the top operatives in the killing of JFK, which we'd always known, but this is a smoking gun directly from the individual's mouth. And so we'll be talking to St. John Hunt, who has a new ebook out that's excellent, available at his website. Before we go to him, I want to just tell you about some of the sponsors that make this radio show possible, and without them, we would not be here, ladies and gentlemen, and wouldn't be able to have the staff we have or be able to do the decent job we're doing now and intend to do even better in the future. And, of course, without you supporting these sponsors, it's all you, the listeners. All the credit goes to you and, of course, the good Lord above. Ladies and gentlemen, eFoods Direct is a fabulous company. They ship it out to you quickly. It's high-quality, non-GMO food, and all of it's grown here in the U.S. except for the bananas. It is the J. Michael Stevens Group. eFoodsDirect.com is the website. Huge banners on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com, where you can link through to their website. You can listen to audios there about storable food, about preparedness. They have high-quality water filters. There's a lot of other great things at eFoodsDirect.com or 1-800-409-5633. They have a free audio CD about preparedness and a free brochure if you want to give them a call or order food. They've got from 2 months supplies up to 3 year supplies, and they can ship them to you right now. 1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633. I am very careful about the sponsors I have. Now, all the sponsors you hear on the network, I'm not saying they're good, bad, or indifferent. I don't know them. But if you hear me endorsing something, it means I have vetted them, I have checked them, and they are doing a good job, and that I believe in them. Out there in this degenerating culture, you got to be careful, and eFoods Direct are great folks. 1-800-409-5633. And then in closing, the biggest weapon we have in the info war is documentary films, as the congressman just said, without me and suggesting it to him, but it reminded me really how true that is during the break. I made 19 films. Terror Storm, Endgame, the Police State series, Masters of Terror, Order of Death, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove. The latest is Truth Rising, and it really is my best work yet. I mean, you could say that Endgame is very slick, very well produced, has probably more important information overall, but it's 3 hours long and really three films. Who the global elite are, what their master plan is, what they're doing. It's very important. But just for being a good view, being entertaining, being dynamic, being something that will wake people up and humanize the 9/11 truth movement and the 9/11 first responders, police and firemen and medical workers and military, and to show the globalists being confronted, the power of the people, and then all these celebrities being interviewed, from Jesse Ventura to Willie Nelson to Michael Moore now saying, I respect him now. He said, yeah, probably an inside job, blow the building up, Building 7. George Carlin, we got an interview with him just months before he died. Martin Sheen, on and 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 on. Truth Rising. So please get Truth Rising at InfoWars.com today. Or call toll free to get Truth Rising. We have it as low as $9.95 when you get multiple copies. Give somebody a high quality shrink wrap with the color cover and the nice DVD. Give it to them. This film needs to be seen, and we need to be able to sell enough to make future films. Get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Download it in super high quality. We have it there for DivX Burn, which half the DVD players out there now, most of the new ones have on it. You can get people who have a DivX player. It's almost as good as regular DVD. PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, that said, we're going to go ahead now and go to St. John Hunt, who I appreciate us joining broadcast. I know we have loaded phone lines from the previous guest. I'm sure St. John will be happy to talk about that because it all ties together. But if you have questions for St. John Hunt, 1-800-259-9231. St. John, your book is so important. I couldn't put it down. People need, because I got an advanced copy online months ago, people need to get a copy. Did you have a good response when you were on last week?
You know, Alex, I wanted to preface my time on your show with thanking not only you, but your very, very wide audience and all the people that responded so positively to my book. I've gotten so many emails, and I will communicate with people if they buy the book, and they and then I personally respond to every single email, a notification of payment, and I personally respond to every person that buys the book, and I say, please give me some feedback on it. Tell me what you think. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to personally respond to each and every one of you. And so I've spent a lot of time responding to a large number of your audience, and everybody is just has been nothing but positive feedback from the book. People can't put it down. They love the book. They love the story, although it's a very tragic story, but it's a very personal story. It's a very important story, as you said. I've just been having a great time responding to all the people that have emailed their support and that have bought the book, and just as a big favor to your listening audience, I've lowered the price of the book down to $5.99 for this day only. And your audience is a very intelligent group of people. Their questions are profound. Their interest is serious. They're dedicated fans of yours, Alex. And I just don't want to ever downplay how important you are as a figure in the media and for the continuing fight of freedom and patriotism in this country. I thank you very much, sir.
Well, thank you, St. John. That's what we're here for, is I have countless wonderful activists and people on, whether it's their website and their news stories or a film or a book. I know you got approached by
A lot of big publishers, they got scared of it. We've had Paul Craig Roberts on, and, you know, he's even had trouble getting stuff published. He's a former Wall Street Journal editor, if it's anti-establishment. Another Roberts, as Colonel Craig Roberts, who had a bunch of best-selling books, but as soon as he came out with the JFK book, the biggest publishers in New York said, we know it'd be a hit, but we're not going to put this out. I mean, there is control. And that's what we do here, is we try to bring you the loose change when nobody'd heard of it first here on this show. We try to bring things like your new book that's so important to be read. I mean, we try to bring people things that are being suppressed. That's what this radio show is all about, getting the information out, a wide spectrum of information from different perspectives, different, you know, different nations, different nationalities, different religions, to just have a open debate and a larger discussion. Give people your website so they can get the book.
It's stjohnhunt.com. It's spelled out stjohnhunt.com. And yeah, it is. Your radio station is one of the most important energies going on right now in the world. And I've seen Truth Rising. It's a masterful documentary. Everybody's listening should immediately go to your website and order that, and just order two and give one to a friend. You know, I mean.
By the way, St. John, do you like the style of that? Because that's the new style. I said I was going to do this film and a JFK one, and then it gets into shadow government and what's happening in the modern times in that style. That's the style of the film that I've been interviewing you for. That's the style that Black Sunshine is going to be in.
Oh, is that the name of it, Black Sunshine?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great, Alex. The style is remarkable. It's masterfully done. It's just it's fully realized. It's fully entertaining, and it's just an important document, an important DVD. And the information is just it's just very professionally approached and professionally disseminated in a way that the average layman is not overwhelmed with one fact after another, but is drawn into this story about 9/11, and it's a great documentary. Everybody should have a copy of that one.
You know, that's a good subject to bring up, St. John. We've mentioned it before, but give me your take on the whole shadow government and 9/11 and what you think's going on.
Well, you know, it's really not that hard to understand what we have going on here. The seeds were planted way back in the late 50s, I would say, in early 60s. One of the first acts of the shadow government was to assassinate President John Fitzgerald Kennedy in November of 1963. This was what I would consider the first act in since then a long series of illegal, immoral, and almost fascist acts to wrest control of the free citizenry we have in this country, of our civil rights, of our democracy, of our freedoms, and of our thought process, and wresting that away from the average citizen, from all of us as citizens. And what we have here is the same group of people. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's actually the truth. We have the same group of people, and as these people get older and they get on in life, they hand their mission down to their to the next person in line. So we have this long consecutive row of government elitists, power brokers, bankers, and they're all pushing for the eventual complete martial law and state.
Stay there. Let's come back and pick up with that.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son,
St. John, your father, talking to you, correct me if I'm wrong, E. Howard Hunt,
really thought he was defending America from the leftists and the communists, never knowing that that was controlled by the big banks as well, and he was in the false left-right paradigm. Before he died, was he worried about the police state? Did he see the loss of liberty, what was happening, or was he still caught up in that and went rah-rah George Bush? Or today, if he could say, see my films, or if somebody could talk to him and explain how he was compartmentalized in the larger picture, do you think he would have been anti-New World Order, or do you think he would have still thrown his lot in with the system?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and of course, I'll never know the definitive answer for that. But in my opinion, I think my father first woke up from his state of comatose blind faith in his government because we have to realize that he was raised in a very different time and era when he'd served in World War II, and it was a different kind of society back then. But he first woke up from his state of comatose blind faith when he was carrying out the orders of President Richard Nixon and was part of the secret plumbers team that worked for the White House. Now, when he was left holding the bag, so to speak, he served 33 and a half months of his life in federal penitentiary. And I think that was the first time that he really realized that these men were acting for their own self-interests, and that was a very harsh moment, a very harsh reality that he had to face. But I think now, if he were still alive, I would be the one to try to get him to watch Truth Rising or Endgame. I think in seeing those kind of movies and listening to the kind of work that you're involved in, Alex, I think that as an educated person, how could he not?
Absolutely. And I mean, the evidence is they blew your mother up when she was going around getting the money to take care of all of Nixon's men coming into Chicago there in the Midway Airport. Do you think that's why he leaked the information to you, or was it more he was proud of what he did to the Kennedys?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think he was... I don't know if I can say he was proud of his involvement in the assassination of President Kennedy, because he never really fully told me the true story, the complete story, is what I meant to say. But I think towards the end of his life, there was a certain amount of "I'm going to get even with those bastards." Excuse my language there. The people that had murdered my mother and that had imprisoned him and caused the destruction of our family. It was a very tragic moment, not only for this nation, but for us as his sons and daughters. I think we all have come to a point in our lives now where we are starting to wake up to what's really going on. And what's important here is that instead of spending, $20 at McDonald's or something like that, take that money, buy your film, buy Truth Rising, buy a copy of my book, and just give it a chance, because it's important now more than ever that we come to a fully realized state of what's really been going on. And there is time. This is really this is the Alamo of what's going on now. And people like yourself and myself that are trying to get these truths out that have been turned down by the mainstream media. After all, my book made its way around the major publishing houses, and no one would touch it. 60 Minutes flew me down to San Francisco for an extensive set of interviews where they went through all my documentation, all my father's handwritten memos, and after having verified everything, I was due to come on 60 Minutes, and this story was going to break mainstream media. And one of the top executive producers of 60 Minutes called me and said, "Well, we can't run with the story because we've been told from at the very top level this is not going to see the light of day." So what's important is that people seek out these alternative means to get to the truth, and just pay a little bit of attention. It's not going to hurt, you know.
Absolutely. Stay there. We're going to come back and go to Harry, Chris, Jim, Patience, Joseph, and others. Going to cram your calls in them. I'm going to play some clips of Ventura on Stern going further than he's ever gone. He's really getting it. Take. Stop backing down from tyranny. Today. Now, we need to help the little ladies across the street. We need to do things like that, but we need to not be so nice to crooks in government. Stop being such schmucks. St. John Hunt is our guest for just about 10 more minutes. I want to go to your phone calls. His website, stjohnhunt.com. You heard it today. Huge discount. It's about half off on his ebook. This needs to get out. People need to know this. His work needs to be supported. It's so important. Okay, let's go ahead right now and go to Harry in Michigan. These will be all over the map, but that's fine. Go ahead, Harry. You're on the air with St. John Hunt.
Hi, Alex. Good to be on the air again with you. It's been a couple, 3 months. I remember I'm going to be 62 years old, and I was around when St. John's father and mother and the whole incident happened. I remember it very well. And that was about the time I got the awakening in what was going on in this world after serving in Vietnam at 65. And I had several questions for all your guests today. I mean, your shows are fantastic. And by the way, Truth Rising is some of your best work, man. I mean,
thank you.
I've made probably 90 copies of it and passed it out already.
That's what I want to thank you for.
Yeah.
Because to me, well, it's about affecting change. That's what I want.
Well, you're doing it, pal. And I'll tell you, and I'm backing you 100%. And I tried to turn out at least 90 films a month and pass them around. And I've had a couple calls from Homeland, even asking me if I wanted a job as a database. Besides that, but anyway, it's I don't know where to start now. I had so many questions for all your guests.
Well, go ahead and address the ones you have for St. John.
Well, I'm very interested in your book, and I've got to read it, and I'm going to order it today for sure. And I'm just, you know, it's the way this world is now. I see that before the election, there's going to be a major tragedy going on over in between Israel and Iran, and I know it's going to happen, and I'm preparing myself for it. What do you think about it?
Well, bad for the people, good for the elites. We pray it doesn't happen, and it looks like it's a very good possibility it could. St. John?
Yeah, I think we're headed in that direction. I think there's going to be a terribly tragic event occurring over in the Middle East there. I couldn't agree with you, sir, more.
Good to hear from you, Harry. Appreciate all you do. Chris in British Columbia, you're on the air with St. John Hunt.
Hey, Alex, St. John, thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
I noticed
Chris.
What your last guest said in regards to the possibilities of Israel and Iran having conflicts. I wanted to kind of bring it back more to homeland concerns as far as the avian flu vaccines that are probably going to be making their way to our shores very shortly. I wanted to get your comments quickly on...
well, we have a video on that. It hasn't jumped to humans. It's a big hype. Just
yeah,
like SARS, but it
video,
is dangerous because they could release one that did get into humans, and the government's done chemical and biological and radiological tests that have killed citizens thousands of times, so they're the number one terrorist. They launched the anthrax attack, and that's they could throw a curveball in like a bio attack, a chemical attack. I got a Newsmax propaganda story here today saying U.S. intel, Iran plans nuclear strike on U.S., just like they said about Iraq. This just out today. I mean, they are really saber-rattling and putting out this info. St. John?
Yeah, I know it's definitely not something to take lightly for sure, but I'm looking at the overall what the overall goal, and in the Bilderberg meeting, apparently, the agenda, they weren't all keen on getting into a battle with Iran because of the way the oil price is and squeezing the American people and the angst that it's creating as well. Now, my concern is you look at the overall what the result of a pandemic would be fits their agenda completely because you get compliance from the people, stay in your houses, take these vaccines, these kinds of things, right? And they can shore up the borders real quick, too. So my question will be, I'll leave it at this, is what can Canadians do like me that I'm on the border, I'm looking over, I can see farms, American farms here. When and if martial law does get put into place, what would Americans need from Canadians as support? Because I
this, well, number one, you're going to have it there. This is a Western thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. And number two, you've got to realize your police up there are being brainwashed and trained by our police and by other
forces. They're all intermingled. I can see it. We've got FBI in Vancouver, yeah. So it's. I know, I understand that, but when the initial...
You just better get the word out to everybody in your area that the government's gone bad, that it's rogue, and any Americans that they're after that make it across, you got to take care of them. Assess for yourself whether they're good people or not. There's always some bad ones mixed in. And that's what the globalists, they do some good, but then they do more bad. It's sophisticated. It's not like they're against Iran, so Iran's good. No, Iran's corrupt as well. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly we're talking about. I appreciate your call. Any take on what he was saying, St. John?
Well, I'd like to add that, the old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword, and that in many cases is true, but don't forget about the sword. So my suggestion to anybody that's worried about martial law is keep a good stock of food, supplies, and ammo.
Yeah, you've got to be self-sufficient. That really is the best the best advice you can get, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Chris. Jim in Russia, you're on the air with St. John Hunt.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello, okay. Couple things. Thank you, Alex, for all that you do, man. You and Dr. Stan, I listen to you guys basically a few hours a day.
Thank you.
So thanks for your work. St. John, thanks for coming out with the information about what your dad did. I guess the big question for me is there any point in going back to the States and trying to take this door-to-door to the American people, or is it too late? I mean, you hear Jesse kind of saying he thinks it's too late. Is there we can inform people or we can start organizing people. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I was an organizer in South Florida, Memphis, Tennessee, and the San Francisco Bay Area. Is there a point to go back, or should we just try to, survive somewhere?
You should plan for the best, prepare for the worst. I would do both. Wake people up, but have a place to boogie out to. If you need to, be self-sufficient, but also wake as many as you can. Sunshine is the best disinfectant. St. John?
I would have to say that it's absolutely never too late. Having that kind of thought mentality in your mind that, well, it's too late, so where do we go from here? There's never going to be a place. We're just all stuck on this one planet, so there's never going to be a mountain that's too remote. There's never going to be a house that's too secure from the New World Order. And what we have to do is not think of it in terms of it ever as being too late. If we're the last man standing, it's still not too late.
Absolutely. Another great comment from St. John Hunt, author of the new book, Bond of Secrecy, available at stjohnhunt.com. Anything else, Jim, in Russia?
So a lot of Russians are aware of the New World Order, what they're up to, what they've been up to in their country since the early 1900s and like that. The question is, is this a time to come back to the United States and fight the battle on the ground, door-to-door there? Or is it time to just... find a place and bug out. And
well, that's your decision.
You
that's your personal decision to make. We just put the information out, and then you make your own decision.
Yeah, you don't have to come to the United States to fight the battle. You sir, can fight the battle, and seems like you are fighting the battle right where you are.
Yeah.
We have a world that goes beyond boundaries, that goes beyond borders. We have the internet, we have databases, we have
This isn't just the U.S. Exactly, St. John. This is free humanity against strong men, king rats, and thugs. Thanks, Jim. One last caller.
Right.
We have time to. Take us, Patience, maybe BL too. Patience, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Patience. I'm from a little city in Southern California known as San Bernardino.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to say thank you for being the news when nobody else will. And you know what? I'm going to buy that book if you can go ahead and put it on your website, Mr. Jones, that your guest has.
Well, just go to stjohnhunt.com.
Okay, I will. stjohnhunt.com.
Yeah. So
and I just wanted to let you know that, you know, before I listened to your radio show, I never could have imagined NWL. I never could have imagined it. And then I opened my eyes and I started reading. And I have a support group for parents dealing with DCFS, you know, CPS?
Yeah, the child kidnapping ranks.
As it turns out, a lot of these judges sit on the boards of directors to adoption agencies.
Oh, yeah, it's a big sickening business, and it's just amazing.
Check this out. In my town, they have this thing called Operation Phoenix that my mayor and ex-DCFS judge started. They're raiding the poor parts of town, whole apartment complex, loading children up 38 at a time at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Good God, what town is that?
San Bernardino, California.
San Bernardino. I'm aware of similar things. See, and I don't have the staff. Somebody needs to research that, write an article. You write an article with facts or some blurbs. Get it to Aaron at InfoWars.com.
Well, I've got all the goods. I've got social
workers, this is what you,
people.
This is what we need. We need you to put it together in an article and to email it to Aaron at InfoWars.com and have just the facts, ma'am, and we will post it on the Prison Planet message board. Then the stuff is brought to our attention to the main page. All of you, we're in this together. Report on all the crimes to us here. We will expose them. Thank you. BL in Texas, last caller. Got to jump in about a minute and a half.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, BL.
St. John Hunt, thanks again for making this information public in my lifetime. I just wanted to ask, I've never actually seen a good picture of your father. Was he 6 feet or so, slim, wiry build, prematurely gray? Ramrod
no,
straight?
Actually, he was about 5'9", kind of stocky, barrel-chested. He was a very handsome man, and he was handsome when he was older, too.
Well,
now,
that was...
If you go to my book, I have quite a few personal family photographs. You can see 7 or 8 pictures of our family and my dad at different times in his career when he was, conducting his black op missions around the world.
I thought that might have been him I met playing good cop at the Irving shooting range, but it must have been somebody else. I would like to point out that the military guy that was pretending to be Oswald, who didn't really look that much like him, but vaguely... it was young enough that he might still be alive. I would love to find out who that guy was and somebody talk to him. Assuming he didn't
die. That would be an awesome thing.
Assuming he didn't die of unnatural causes.
We got to jump. Right. We got to jump. Thank you, BL. Call back in more with that story later. St. John, we'll have you up again in the next few months as more develops. Thank you for spending time with us.
Alex, so thank you again. I always, you just keep on trucking, brother.
You too, my friend. Okay, I'm going right in to this Jesse Ventura interview. These are some cuts out of an hour-long Howard Stern interview. We're airing this to analyze it and critique what Stern's saying. He's come a long way, and this is pretty exciting because Howard Stern is a cultural phenomenon. Here it is, a barn burner.
Did the Vietnam War not mean shit? I mean, in retrospect.
Totally.
Yeah. And Iraq is the same sort of
situation. Absolutely. All of it. Well, I was teaching at Harvard in 2004 when McNamara come through.
Right.
Well, they've now admitted the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened.
Right.
Well, that's the catalyst that got us in the war. They said the North Vietnamese fired at two of our ships. It's a declaration of war. So that the entire war was based upon that lie.
So you would take us right out of Iraq? If there was
absolutely.
Would you run for president?
Have you read my book, Howard?
No.
Okay, well, I suggest go read the epilogue, because what I did in the book is I wrote factual all the way till the epilogue.
Right.
And then without telling the reader, I went to fiction. And I make a fictitious run for the presidency, and I'm assassinated. Because I believe in my heart, Howard, that if an independent like me had a shot to do it, and it looked like I was going to win...
Someone would get you. Do you worry
about... Does that bother you when you say about this country...
Not anymore.
It doesn't bother you.
I don't believe 9/11 anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, you've talked about that. You've said that.
Well, you say I live in Mexico now. I mean, do you enjoy living outside of the United States?
Yes, because it gives you a new perception of the United States. It gives you one from the outside looking in as opposed to the inside looking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if hypothetically we could get everyone in this country to have that opportunity, I think you'd see a change in the United States for the better. We're arrogant, and we have an arrogance about us that needs to disappear. Because you know what the most popular shirt way down in Mexico is with all the little kids?
What is it?
It's a picture of George Bush on a T-shirt, and it says "Weapon of Mass Destruction."
Yeah, we've got a real shitty image around the world.
And right now, the rest of the world is fearful that if they cross the United States, we'll attack them.
It's because of Iraq.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because and that's
Afghanistan. Everyone was with us.
Do you want to know why I hate Iraq so much? Because they destroyed my belief in America. My mother and father are both World War II veterans. As I said, my brother and I are Vietnam veterans. And I never believed that my country would line up our military at the border of another sovereign nation without being asked. We would invade that nation, overthrow its government, and occupy it. That's what the Nazis did. That's what the communists did. Now we've done it.
Why do you think Bush did it? Do you think just for oil, or do you think because he was pissed off that Saddam Hussein was, hanging out with his father and going to war with him?
I think that it falls to, have you followed that thing and read about that thing in 92 during Bush 1? There was a document in a think tank that they had, the Center for the American Experiment, I forget what they called, New Cent, something or other name they had. Well, it was made up of Jeb Bush, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, the whole cast of characters.
Same guys.
And in 92, they were posed with to go out and gather information and come forward with recommendations on how do we make the United States the sole superpower of the world.
Wow.
And their recommendations was one of them controlling Middle Eastern oil.
Mm-hmm.
Because China and India are becoming industrialized. If you control Middle Eastern oil, you control them because of the oil factor.
And by the way,
now the part that gets to me is that at the end in their summation, they list all the things required, but then they say right there, it'll take many, many years to implement this unless a Pearl Harbor type of event were to occur.
And that happened.
That would be in 9/11.
9 years later, a Pearl Harbor, when you had Bill Clinton then. The problem was they were Bush 1, Clinton 1 then. So there was an 8-year hiatus. And then these jokers came in 2000. And a year later, we had a Pearl Harbor type of event.
So what do you think?
I find that a little bit more than coincidental.
Yeah. So are you one of those guys that advocates that Bush should be put on trial for this?
Not yet. But I think that the problem I have, Howard, is I was a member of UDT 12 for 3 years and SEAL Team 1 for 2. Now, do you know what UDT means?
No.
Underwater Demolition Team.
Go ahead.
In other words, I was trained by the best demo men this country has to blow things up.
Right.
How could those buildings fall at the rate of gravity with no resistance? They fell as fast as a billiard ball in a vacuum. How could there be no resistance, Howard?
So you really feel the government...
Well, how did Building 7 fall? 5 hours later, implodes into its own footprint? And I've talked this over with some of my teammates, and we all agree. There had to be something that assisted all of that. They
all
could
right.
not come down like that.
So do you have an exact scenario of what you think happened?
No, I don't.
But I mean, you just think...
No, I don't. Right. All I'm doing... Well, there's more questions that are unanswered. Like, did you know today, and you can go to the website, the Department of Justice has never charged Osama bin Laden?
Right.
Wow.
Now, shouldn't he be indicted? We went to war. They told us he was the cause.
He admitted to it.
No, he did not.
He never admitted to it.
He first went on Al Jazeera and said he had nothing to do with it. Do you that tape they sent, you got to read that. That's a joke. He's talking about totally other things. All of a sudden, there's a garble mess. He comes back and explains the buildings will melt and collapse, just what they told us. And then it goes back to a different subject. It's bogus.
So you think he's the poster child, the one you blame for everything?
I think he's dead today. I don't even think he's alive.
Because
I think he is the modern Lee Harvey Oswald.
You think that they sort of keep his image out there, keep him alive in our minds so that we have an enemy.
A boogeyman.
A boogeyman.
We got the boogeyman out there. See,
wow.
For many years it was communism, then it was the war on drugs, now it's the war on terror. All through our life we've had to have a boogeyman. And
so,
you know what's interesting about the communist situation? When I go to L.A. now, I get a lot of car drivers who happen to be Russian. For some reason, they've migrated here. And they're about my age, and I've talked to these guys. And I say, tell me something. During the Cold War, what were you being told? And they tell me, to a person, they all say, we were being told we had to stop the capitalist imperialists from taking over the world. Well, Howard, what were we being told? We have to stop the communists from taking over the world.
Right.
Do you think they got together?
Let me ask
and they
you
said,
this,
we'll tell our people this, you tell your people that, and we'll have this hatred and conflict for 40 years that we can all deal with.
So here's the thing I don't understand.
Okay.
So here we're in Iraq now, and we have control of their oil. True. I mean, we're running the show over
there. I would think so.
But it seems like things are out of control anyway, so the plan isn't working all that well. We're going to have to leave Iraq.
But it's probably, they probably also said in that report it's going to take many, many years to get this whole situation under control.
Well, let's remember, though, our oil companies now are in control of their oil.
Yeah.
But,
so, I mean,
so do you think the plan was successful?
Well, remember this now. Yeah, because remember now, we had sanctions against Iraq for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Iraq is like the second or third potential oil country in the world.
Yeah.
Well, it's been held back, so we have to buy from the Saudis. Now, tell me, and I always love this, you know how Republicans are so anti-gay?
Yeah.
Right? What looks more gay than when George Bush comes walking out with some Arab in sheets holding hands, skipping out to talk?
They
right.
kiss.
I don't know. I've never
seen
that.
Kiss. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what looks more gay than that?
I cannot imagine.
I can tell you this, Howard. If I were the president, you'd never see that from me. And I'm not anti-gay.
I know you're not. I can't imagine, though. I've listened to what you said, though. And I got to tell you something. I would have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that George Bush, who maybe certainly is not the best president in the world, I do not believe that he would be that evil to attack his own country, to be involved in an attack on his own country, on a building. I don't believe that of the man.
Well,
I honestly don't.
Okay, well, let me read this for you a moment, Howard.
Okay.
I got something to read, and I'm going to ask you who said it.
Okay.
And tell me if it does not apply to the United States since 9/11.
All right, go ahead.
Here we go. This is a quote. Naturally, the
all right, folks, we're out of time. We'll play a little bit more tomorrow as we're analyzing and critiquing that. Retransmission starts now with Ted Nugent, who was on today. Fiery interview. We had a Congressman Hamburg on as well. Restreaming on the internet at InfoWars.com right now. God bless you all.